7.3, I'm Howard Hughes, and I'm going to hand you over now to our host for the next hour, Tony Blair. Now, this is part of Labour's big conversation. If you have any bright ideas on how he should be running Britain, Tony Blair wants to hear from you now. You can call the Prime Minister on the usual number here at LBC 97.3. That number is 0870 9090973. Or you can email the Prime Minister at his own email address, tony@lbc.co.uk. You can also text him on 0771 776 0973. So if you think you've got a great idea to solve our transport problems, improve our schools and hospitals, or anything else that might cross your mind that could make London or Britain a better place to live in, here's your chance to make a difference. We're giving you a direct line to Tony Blair himself, and he is all ears this morning, I promise you that. Tony, good morning to you. What sort of ideas are you particularly looking for this morning? What do you think?
Well, it's all about how we build up to having a manifesto for the next election. And so, for example, on antisocial behaviour or issues to do with asylum, or it might be how do you pay for learning throughout life now? How do we get the right balance between what the taxpayer pays and what the individual pays? You know, changes in the National Health Service that we're introducing, how we make the economy, not just of London, but of the whole country, strong for the future. And that there are lots of difficult issues that the future poses to us. And the question is, how do you make a future that is fair for everyone, not just a privileged few? And that requires some difficult choices. And at least we think it's better to make those choices informed by what the public thinks rather than simply do it in the traditional political way.
Well, a lot of subjects to get through, clearly. Are you ready?
I'm absolutely ready, and thank you very much, Howard, for introducing me.
Okay.
And I'll do my best with all the technology around. And the first call is from Farzana in Stoke Newington. So,
Hi, Prime Minister.
Hello.
Hi. It was a question around higher education funding. I mean, I've been following the debates around higher education funding and obviously welcomed the government's proposals that were unveiled last week. I'm not entirely convinced that the proposals on offer will be adequate over the medium to long term to sustain sufficient funding within higher education over the medium to long term. And the question essentially is, why hasn't the government looked at perhaps introducing a graduate tax similar to the system that currently exists in Australia?
Okay. Zana, first of all, let me just give you an answer to that, then ask you a question about it. I mean, what we've unveiled has got something of the nature of it's a sort of graduate repayment scheme, if you like. It means that people won't pay upfront fees at all now, but the student, once they've graduated, will pay according to their ability to pay. So, for example, if they're earning £20,000 after their graduation, they'll pay something like £8 a week back towards the cost of their fee. And then there's a cut-off date, so that if, for example, someone goes to university but then doesn't work after university, either for reasons of ill health or because they're raising a family, then the loan is then written off after a period of time. So we think that's a fairer system. What you're posing is this: do you put a specific income tax supplement on all graduates? And let me just tell you the reason why we didn't in the end go for that system, and then ask you what you think of this. The real difficulty is that if you put an income tax supplement on everybody who's graduated, then you may find people who, for example, simply took a two-year course, a reasonably low-value degree, but actually happened to earn a reasonable sum of money afterwards, would be paying a sum of money back into the system many, many times the amount that was actually invested in their education. And we thought people might find that unfair. So that's the reason we did that.
Right, okay.
Can I just explain to you incidentally, on Australia, actually their system, in fact, although they call it a graduate tax, is really rather similar to what we're proposing.
Right, okay. I mean, I suppose, having taken on board what you say, my concern is that you'll still, I mean, the proposals that you've unveiled still have an element of deterrence to them, in so much as you'll get some students from poorer backgrounds who will, in order to minimise the debt that they will incur once they've graduated and once they begin earning, will go and veer towards courses which actually aren't not that advantageous to them over the medium and long-term career-wise.
Yeah, well, I understand that too, but that's why what we're also proposing is that there's a £3,000 a year support package for the poorest 30% of students. And we hope, I mean, that didn't always get the publicity it should have maybe last week, but we hope that that will mean that any student, because there's a £3,000 maximum fee, that any student from a poorer background will know that they can actually meet the cost of that fee. But, you know, the difficulty in the end, as you rightly indicate, is that someone's got to pay, and we just think there's got to be a balance between what the taxpayer puts in, and then to ask the student, once they graduate, no upfront fee, but once they graduate, to pay something back into the pot.
Farzana in Stoke Newington, thank you so much for making history here at LBC 97.3 and for being our first caller. If you'd like to call the Prime Minister, the number that you need here at LBC 97.3 is 0870 9090973. You can also email tony at lbc.co.uk. Prime Minister.
Right, now it's over to Cathy in Hounslow.
Oh, hello, Prime Minister. Good morning.
Good morning, Cathy.
I emailed in this morning after listening to the programme about taxation. I work in the National Health Service. My husband is a civil servant. And we both pay quite high levels of taxes. I'm a higher rate taxpayer. And I suppose I sometimes feel like I'm just kind of working just to keep my head above water and for a sense of pride, because I don't want to be dependent on the state. And you will probably ask me, what solutions have I got? Because somebody's got to pay the taxes. I'm quite happy to contribute to the economy. I think it's everybody's duty as a citizen to do that. But I certainly do feel that some of us pay extremely high taxes. I'd like to see more done about reducing perverse incentives that keep people at home, for example, where it's easier to be on benefits than to go out to work, and it's more, you know, there is more in your pocket if you do that. I'd also like to see more money invested in things like childcare, and I know there have been some recent moves to do that. And I'd also like to see, and that would allow parents, for example, single parents, mums who've been at home, to go out and work. And I'd like to see a little bit more done around flexible working, and that surely is about creating some kind of concordat with employers where they can allow people to work, do more work during term time or things like annualised hours. But I'd like to see the tax burden spread more evenly across the country rather than some people paying bearing quite a heavy burden and others very little.
Okay. Well, first of all, Cathy, I think there's a very reasonable points to make. I mean, the basic point you're making is, look, if you help more people off benefit and into work, then the economy would generate more revenue, and then you could spread the tax burden more fairly. Yes?
Yes.
Right.
So I'd like to see a bit more done about that, please.
Right. Okay. I mean, just to respond to one or two points. I mean, first of all, the whole purpose of introducing the Working Families Tax Credit was to try and make sure that people, particularly if they've got a family, then it's actually going to pay them to go into work rather than stay on benefit. And one of the reasons why actually there's been around about 1.5 million more jobs in the economy in the past few years is because we've helped people off benefit and into work.
Yeah.
And there's now a specific childcare tax credit. Mm. Now, where you are right, however, is that for some people still it's the case that it pays to stay on benefit rather than go into work. Now, what the Chancellor said is that he will look for the next budget at ways that we can try and help more of those people off benefit and into work, because that's in everyone's interest.
Yeah.
And on flexible working, I think that is absolutely right, because some people will not be able to work a normal 9-to-5 job, but on the other hand, because, for example, they may have family responsibilities, but on the other hand, they would be very happy to do more flexible working.
Yes.
And what we're trying to do, I mean, the health service, for example, we're trying to get such a concordat with the health service authorities there. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got to try and extend that across the piece, but I totally agree, and yes, that is one thing that we'll be looking at in the course of this big conversation.
Okay, well, I look forward to feeling the effects of that sometime soon.
Okay, well,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cathy, thank you so much for your call. It is your call to the Prime Minister. He's looking for your thoughts, ideas and suggestions. As part of the Labour consultation exercise, the number to call is 0870 9090973. You can email tony at lbc.co.uk. He's even got his own email address. Or you can text at 0771 776 0973. Prime Minister.
Right. OK, the next call is, I think, from Stephen Sidcup.
Good morning, Prime Minister.
Good morning.
Yeah, but my suggestion is related to the effective means of collection of tax, which could lead to either lower tax or improved services. And what I'm suggesting is that you actually collect the taxation, well, not just taxation, but council tax, TV licence, fines, you know, any payments from the citizen through the taxation service via the Inland Revenue, and using that sort of centralised, streamlined method, that would lead to a much cheaper and effective way of collecting those costs. And also the taxation service has got a certain degree of means testing built into it. So again, that's just a suggestion.
Right, so in other words, you'd use the Inland Revenue. I mean, the Inland Revenue obviously is doing a certain amount of the tax collection and so on, but you should use it to do fines and other things as well.
That's right, so you're using like one central means of collecting fees or, you know, money from citizens, if you like.
Okay, well, I can certainly listen to that. I mean, let me just tell you one thing that we're trying to do about fines in particular, because this is a problem with courts when they impose fines on people. And the fines aren't always collected in the way that they should. And as a result of that, over the past few years, the percentage of fines actually collected has declined. And we're now increasing those by trying to make sure that it's not just courts that go out and collect the fines, but they can actually contract out to other organisations the ability to get those fines so that people are actually chased up. And, well, I'll certainly look at the issue of the Inland Revenue. I don't know whether... one of the things, incidentally, and I hope you leave your address or contact number, one of the things I want to do with some of these questions is to get back to you and tell you exactly what, for example, the Inland Revenue might say about such a proposal, because they may have, I don't know, bureaucratic or principled objections to it. On the other hand, there may be something in it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the principle is to have, like, one...
I understand.
The Inland Revenue was just a suggestion because they're already in that position at the moment.
Yes, and also what is important is that everybody should play by the same rules.
That's correct.
And if we didn't have, I mean, in fact, the levels of the black economy here, fortunately, are less than they are in many other parts of the world. But even so, there's still a substantial amount of money that goes uncollected.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for that suggestion, Steve. Right. Now, can I... this is me, I'm supposed to... It says Tony, but that's me. Right, more of your calls in a moment. And this is After the Travel News on LBC 97.3 with Natalie Bailey.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Well, we've got some problems if you're heading into town on the A10. Congestion from Tottenham Hale heading down towards Stoke Newington. And still looking at this accident on the A3 Guildford Bypass coming London bound. Two vehicles involved in that accident. It's completely blocking off the road between the Wooden Bridge and the Woking Road interchange. Really hefty queue as you come into town with an extra 35 minutes onto your journey. For the London Underground, no Bakerloo line service between Stonebridge Park and Harrow and Wilsdon. And longer to wait for services on the Central and Piccadilly. Dilly Lines. LBC 97.3 Travel. Next update in half an hour.
Travel with eShore.com. Bringing you cheaper car insurance online. LBC.
Want to ski low cost? Then why not hit the slopes with EasyJet? Fly low cost to the Alps or the Pyrenees with daily flights to Lyon, Munich, Geneva, Milan and now Toulouse. All with our famous low fares starting from just $22.99 single. With so much choice, we've even given you an online guide to resorts, accommodation and the latest snow reports. So what are you waiting for? Book online now at EasyJet.com. EasyJet, the web's favourite airline. Conditions apply.
Lucy.
James.
Steve.
Samantha.
Luke.
Rob.
Dan.
Samantha.
Julie.
Mary.
Simon.
Samantha.
Sarah.
Ken.
Liz.
Samantha.
When you hear 1 in 4, it sounds like a lot. 1 in 4 Lotto jackpots is won by a National Lottery syndicate. If you want to start up a syndicate, just log on to nationallottery.co.uk or call 0845 910000. Players must be 16 or over. Games, rules and procedures apply.
A Formula One car is the perfect vehicle, unless...
You're taking Granny for a spin.
Ooh.
We all like different speeds, so Tiscali Broadband offers a choice of high-speed internet. Up to 3 times faster than standard dial-up or a turbo 10 times faster. Both have free setup and free modem. Call 0800 107 9000 or visit tiscali.co.uk to get broadband from $15.99 a month.
Another lap, Gran.
No!
Requires BT line in Tiscali Broadband area. Minimum contract and conditions apply.
Channel in a gale.
When crossing with Eurotunnel is a breeze.
With a journey time of just 35 minutes from Folkestone to Calais-Coquelle, Eurotunnel is the quickest way to get you and your car to France, whatever the weather. For a channel crossing that's plain sailing, just visit eurotunnel.com or call 08705 35 35 35. Eurotunnel. Inspiring possibilities.
LBC 97.3.
Call Tony Blair now.
0870 90 90 973.
Right, this is Tony Blair on LBC 97.3. I'm taking your calls on 0870 90 90 973. And the next call is from Kate in Holloway, near where I used to live.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I haven't got a specific suggestion. I've got a general suggestion, which rebounds on the specifics. You talk about having a society that's fair for all, and my suggestion is to keep going back to examining the policies against a system of justice that has proper integrity. Listening to Nick earlier this morning and the new policies about the motorists. Now, it seems to me absolutely unacceptable, and it would be in a kind of general vision of the law, that one person who's broken the law should pay for someone else's crime. And it also seems to be unacceptable, again, if you take the logical extension of something like prison as a way of punishing an offence, that the point system, which is equally a way of taking people off the streets because they're deemed to be irresponsible, finally, and dangerous, finally, should be something that you can buy your way out of. And if those had been examined against a more basic system of justice, I feel they wouldn't have got through.
Okay. Well, those are fair points, Kate. I mean, first of all, let me say what was published yesterday is a consultation, and so the decisions haven't been taken yet, and we're obviously going to listen carefully to what people say.
Great.
I mean, I think the basic point you're making is one that I agree with, which is that criminals should actually pay compensation to their victims, and it should be the person who's committed the crime that pays the compensation.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. Now, there is, however, one problem with that, which I'll come to in a moment, but basically that must be right, and the courts have got the power to order criminals to pay such compensation. And one of the questions we're asking in this this conversation, in this consultation that we're having with people, is, you know, is it right, for example, that in circumstances where people are ordered to pay compensation and don't, that their earnings should be attached to the fullest extent and including their benefits, if necessary, in order to pay the compensation.
Right.
Now, I personally think there is merit in that, but some people will say to you, well, you're going to put particular families in poverty and all the rest of it. Anyway, that is one set of issues, and plainly, in principle, it's right that the criminal should pay the compensation to the victim.
Yeah, but I'm saying that the principle isn't right when one person is paying for someone else's criminal act, which is what seems to be suggested here.
Right, and what I'm saying to you is then that the problem that there is in circumstances where you get a crime where you either can't identify or convict a criminal, or we just simply don't know how that person came about being injured, for example. It could be in a hit-and-run accident. We know it was a crime, but we don't know who did it, and we're not able to identify or convict. Now, in those circumstances, the public pays compensation to that person, but you can't get the compensation, obviously, from the criminal because you don't have someone who's actually convicted. And the question is, how do you fund such a scheme? Now, as I say, what was published yesterday, however, is a consultation. It is just that. And we will listen carefully to what people say. But the basic point that you're making is, insofar as it is possible, it should be the criminal and not somebody else that pays the compensation.
Right. And as far as the second point is concerned, now, I understood the Points Act was to do with getting people who finally showed total irresponsibility by not taking on board speeding fines and the fact that what they were doing is dangerous, off the roads. But if you can buy your way out of that, is it not the equivalent of buying your way out of prison?
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Because, I mean, the point system's been with us a long period of time, and if you have people who accumulate points because they keep on breaking the law, and okay, one of these crimes in themselves, or one of these offences may not be that serious, but if you keep multiplying them and people are getting more and more points and they're not actually discharging their responsibility, what do you do in the end? I mean, you either have to take some sanction against them, or you have to make sure that you have a way of making them pay their fine. You see what I mean?
Well, the sanction is also to protect us. And taking people off the streets protects people who constantly speed off the streets, protects us, protects the pedestrians, protects people crossing the road, etc., and other car users. So it's not only it's something that if you can buy your way out of, you're not protecting us. And equally, if you're very wealthy, it means you can go speeding till the cows come home. I mean, you can just put two fingers up to the system.
Well, except that of course the court has always got the ability to say we're not going to give you another fine, we're going to ban you. So I don't think it's that. I don't think this proposal should be understood as meaning you can carry on getting fines after fines after fines, and provided you pay them, you can carry on accumulating them. I mean, the court's still got the ability, certainly as I understand it, to say to someone, well, I'm sorry, if you've done, you know, three very serious offences, then I'm afraid we're going to ban you. You see what I mean?
The Prime Minister is taking your calls here at LBC 97.3. 0870 90973 is your number, Tony.
Okay, anyway, we're going to move to another caller, and the other caller is Ron in Worthing.
Good morning, Mr. Blair.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm a father of two children, 13 and 10 years old, who I haven't seen for 5 years. This is because mostly the mother hasn't complied with court orders, and initially because a default position adopted by the court that upon separation, if mother says so, dad becomes an unfit parent. Now, there have been many, many false allegations which are used to prevent me seeing my children, none of which are proven because they're simply not true. And what I found very, very difficult to come to terms with, and in fact it's made me very angry over the years, is that this has all been financed by the Legal Services Commission to the tune of perhaps nearly £100,000 now. And I won case in many thousands of fathers who are trying desperately to see their kids. I can't understand why it is that a government department freely gives legal aid to a mother to make false accusations against the father, and father has to go to court repeatedly to try and prove his innocence, always paying for himself because fathers very rarely get legal aid, and even when he's found to be not guilty, found to be innocent of all these allegations, he can sometimes be out of pocket, and in my own instance, some £30,000. From living in a four-bedroom house, I now dwell in a small rented room. I can't understand how this can happen to me and my children. And I'm concerned at what appears to be an attack on myself and my children by my own government. I think there should be a presumption to contact which would eliminate a father having to prove his worth in court, in the same way that a mother, you know, would be entitled to see her children on separation. Why is it dad suddenly has to go to court to ask permission? If there was a presumption to contact and shared parenting, then our fathers wouldn't find themselves in this position, and we wouldn't have the children's inheritance and our own wealth stripped of us by repeatedly going to solicitors to have to go to court to try and get, you know, a few hours a week to see our children.
Right.
What I would like you to do is to push forward a presumption to shared parenting, to make the courts answerable for the decisions they're making. Very often, they are ignoring what we believe to be a presumption to shared parenting, which is contained within the Children's Act. So few fathers are given shared parenting, and as we represent pretty much 50% of the population, you know, one has to wonder why it is that we always end up as the person being penalised, paying through the nose,
okay,
to get a few hours a week with our kids.
Okay, Ron. Thank you for that. Can I just ask you one question, yeah, before I answer it? I mean, presumably you had a court order at some point that gave you access.
Eventually, after 2 years, I got an order granting me access.
Right.
Mother ignored it, and I was broke, distraught, my life was in tatters.
Right, and you had to go back to court in order to enforce the access then?
It made me so ill, I couldn't do it. I had to leave it for 2 years.
Right, I see.
I've recently taken it back to court.
Well, I mean, you know, I know this is a very live and important issue for many fathers. I mean, fortunately, 9 out of 10 cases get sorted without all the bother. But obviously, in cases where there's a strong contest about access, then there's got to be a way of dealing with this that is fair. But I take the point that you're making, which is that the court should approach this with a presumption that there should be equal access unless there is a reason not to do so. And if I may, I will get back to you. I'd just like to have a look a little more close to myself on exactly how the courts are supposed to approach it now. And perhaps I can then write to you about that, if you would allow me to.
Thank you, Ron, for your call. Tony Blair is talking with London here at LBC 97.3. We're looking for your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions on 0870 90 90 973. Tony.
Right, OK, and now we're going to Jane in Battersea.
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Jane.
I'd just like to say, on the case of weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
They're here on our streets. They're not in Iraq. They're destroying our young children and society. As we know, our streets on London, the quality of life just isn't there anymore. The crime rate's up. And it's just terrible. If some of the energies that we're putting... It's commendable that you care about the Iraqi people and you went to war, but what about us? The drug money is funding Al-Qaeda. Why can't some energies that was put into Iraq be put into this country to stop these filthy drugs from getting onto our streets and corrupting our children, our society? Our children aren't replaceable.
Okay, Jane, that's a very fair point. I totally agree, there's a huge menace of hard drugs on our street. Let me just tell you a couple of things that we're doing, and then I'll ask you a question if I might. First of all, we're increasing, and have increased actually already, but are increasing further the sentences for dealers in hard drugs. Secondly, there are a whole series of measures that will come into force in the next few months, which will make it easier to get convictions for such people, because we will be able to take into account previous convictions in an easier way, and there will be better rules on disclosure of evidence that can help balance up or rebalance our criminal justice system in favour of prosecuting the people properly who are guilty of such things. There's only one question I'd just like to ask you, and it's this. That one of the questions that we ask in the course of this is whether it is right, not merely that we end up with these tougher sentences in respect of hard drug dealers, but that we also make sure that within our criminal justice system, anybody who is arrested and tested positively for drugs, that there is a presumption that they do not get bail unless they're prepared to get drug treatment. And that's one of the things that we're looking at.
Yes, but I also know the rehab treatment centres that you have at the moment, the ones I know about, there's a lot of corruption in them, and the people aren't really getting the treatment that it's just...
Right. I mean, we're aware of that, which is one of the reasons why we're changing the way that those centres and the system works. But if we could do that, I mean, if we could, in other words, provide that there was genuine and proper treatment for such people, and in addition to that, that if they refused to take the treatment, they faced a penalty within the criminal justice system, is that something you would support?
Well, I would, and also deportation as well of people that aren't, you know...
People who've come from abroad and are dealing in drugs here. Yeah, okay, well, I totally agree with that.
Jane, thank you for your call very much indeed. Please keep them coming. We have another half an hour of the Prime Minister here on LBC 97.3. Your thoughts, your suggestions, 0870 90 90 973.
If Helen owes 3 weeks and Paul owes 1 week, but Trish owes Helen 2 weeks and Trish is on holiday next week, how much does Helen owe Paul? The answer? Your syndicate manager. If you run a lottery syndicate, simply download your syndicate manager to your PC. It checks all your syndicate's numbers every week, and it keeps tabs on who's paid what and when. If you want to start up a syndicate, just log on to nationallottery.co.uk or call 0845 9100 000. Players must be 16 or over. Games, rules and procedures apply.
Want to ski low cost? Then why not hit the slopes with EasyJet? Fly low cost to the Alps or the Pyrenees with daily flights to Lyon, Munich, Geneva, Milan and now Toulouse. All with our famous low fares starting from just $22.99 single. With so much choice, we've even given you an online guide to resorts, accommodation and the latest snow reports. So what are you waiting for? Book online now at EasyJet.com. EasyJet, the web's favourite airline. Conditions apply.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Miss Anderson.
Richard?
Here, miss.
Susan?
Here, miss.
Catherine?
Here, miss.
Bob?
Present, miss.
Do you have a note regarding your absence, Bob?
No, miss. I had to fix my daughter's wardrobe.
If you don't fancy going back to school, try your local Learn Direct Centre. You can get a national maths or English qualification, the same level as a GCSE, by taking a short test in a friendly, supportive environment. When you pass, you'll get a certificate in adult numeracy or literacy. It's recognised by employers, you can do it for free, and when you're free. Call 08080 200 800 for your nearest centre.
Thank you, Bob. Do you do plumbing?
Tiscali Broadband is so tempting. It's like this enormous cream cake. The gallons of cream, is the free modem, the chucky sprinkles, the completely free setup, and the cherry on top. The fantastic price of just $15.99 a month. Tiscali Broadband is up to three times faster than standard dial-up. And with free modem and free setup, you can have your cake and eat it. Call 0800 107 9000 or visit tiscali.co.uk. Requires BT line in Tiscali Broadband area. Minimum contract and conditions apply.
LBC 97.3.
Call Tony Blair now. 0870 90 90 973.
Right, this is Tony Blair on LBC 97.3, taking your calls until 11 on 0870 90 90 973. And we're going to Tom in Bromley.
Morning, Prime Minister.
Good morning, Tom.
I'd like to talk to you about the government's stance on drugs, in particular cannabis. As a parent, I'd like to ask you to think again and not downgrade this drug and to give the strongest possible message, particularly to teenagers, that the government is totally opposed to its use.
Well, first of all, Tom, I think it's important to understand what we actually are and are not doing, and I know there's been some confusion about this.
Yes.
Cannabis remains an illegal drug, and people can be arrested for its use, and the police retain their powers in respect of it. What we have done, and in part in response to pressure from people who want us to concentrate on hard drugs, is to give the police a greater flexibility in how they deal with cannabis so that they can get after the hard drugs. But I agree we must not risk in doing that sending a message to people that actually somehow we're downgrading the importance of the crackdown on drugs in general.
Yes, I think that the steps that you're taking are misinterpreted by youngsters, and they seem to think that it is receiving government approval in some way. That message really needs to be hammered home, because it's at the teenage stage. And I was listening to a program on LBC the other day when quite a few people who were heavy users of cannabis were describing their psychosis that resulted in one or two cases, and that there is therefore evidence that it can be damaging.
Yeah.
And I know my own teenage daughter has said to me, you know, well, the government thinks it's okay.
Yeah, well, I think the point you're making is right. It is extremely important that in making sure the police concentrate on the work they're doing on the hard drugs, we do not send the wrong message. And let me make it absolutely clear, cannabis remains illegal, and people who use it, if they think they use it and they see a police officer and they're doing something that is not illegal, they're wrong. It is illegal. And the police retain the power to prosecute people in respect of it. Okay, many thanks, Tom, for that, because I think it is important we make that clear for people. And now we're going to move to the next call, which I think is Stephanie from Barnet.
Hello, good morning, Prime Minister.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to ask you about the government and the DVLA stance on the checking of foreign licensed cars. Now, I've seen numerous Polish, Czech and other Eastern European cars on London Street bearing their country of origin's license plates. These are legal, driven across Europe, cars that obviously the occupants are either legally working in the UK or they're here for an extended visit, not just a holiday. But these cars don't have UK tax discs. They're being driven possibly with no UK company-based insurance, although they might obviously be insured in their home country. They look tatty. I have a concern about the MOT tests around Europe. The tests abroad might not be as stringent as ours with regards to braking systems, emissions. I'd like to see cars belonging to foreign nationals working legally in the UK subjected to UK MOT and road fund tax, and I believe at the moment they're not.
Okay. Well, Stephanie, I'd like to look into that, if I might. I mean, I suppose there will be an issue as to the extent to which we want to harmonise this across Europe, because we might want to retain our own ability to decide these things. But I totally understand. What you're saying is there are people who are here that have are actually, as it were, living and working here, and who've got their cars that are taxed and checked and MOT'd under a different regime, and that regime may not be stringent enough.
That's right. I mean, for example, if you take, let's say an au pair or somebody who's come from the building trade in one of the Eastern European new EEC member countries,
yeah.
They may drive a car across Europe, they may legally have permission to work in this country, but their car is not taxed on British roads, their insurance is only valid in their home country. If an indigenous national of the UK has an accident with these people, where do they stand? And also, who is paying for the upkeep of the roads? These people, if you like, are driving for free on our roads.
Okay, that's a perfectly reasonable point. I'd like to look into it, though, and get back to you, because I'm not sure. I sort of feel there must be some way of dealing with these within our present system if they're actually living and working here for long periods of time. But let me come back and to you with the answer on that, if I might. I'll have to get back to you by sort of email or letter. But if you leave your details, I will do that, because it seems to be a perfectly reasonable point to make. Okay, right. This is Tony Blair on LBC 97.3. You've got another 20 minutes or so to call me on 0870 90 90 973, and let's talk now to Andrew from Harrow.
Your call is important to us.
Well, these things periodically, Prime Minister, happen in radio. If you'd like to speak to Tony Blair, he is here at LBC 97.3 talking with London. And the number you need is 0870 90 90 973. It's 0870 90 90 973. Tony.
Right, so apparently we temporarily lost Andrew from Harrow, but we're going to Tony from Crystal Palace. Tony.
Hi there, Mr. Blair.
Good morning.
My suggestion would be, regarding state schools, to be perfectly honest, we've got to actually make the levels of teaching a lot higher. You know, the standards have got to be brought up. And I think we've got to stop this business where we have other people coming from other countries to teach our children, where their language, obviously, English is second. We need to put money into getting our own homegrown teachers and getting the standards up there with these private schools and various other sort of bits and pieces that are going on.
Well, I think it's absolutely right that we've got to make sure we raise the school standards. I mean, I should just say to you, one of the reasons why we bring in foreign teachers for London in particular is that we've had teacher training shortages for a number of years. I'm pleased to say, however, there are a lot more people going into teacher training now, and we're giving various incentives for them to do so. And I hope the situation will ease. I mean, it's particularly difficult in London because there's such a pressure on employment, and particularly on housing as well. And what we're also trying to do is to make sure that key workers in teaching and, for example, in nursing, where also we've got problems recruiting people and are having to recruit people from abroad as a result, that we're also giving some help to those people with housing costs, because that's a big reason why it's difficult to get people, you know, to come and teach it in places like London. But we are trying to do this. And I just say to you, in London, actually, school standards are rising. We've still got a way to go, but they are actually rising. And our teachers now in this country are probably amongst the best paid in Europe, at least, although, again, there's still a long way we've got to go.
I think, as I say, you know, I think we've got to pay our own homegrown teachers a lot more money. I watched my daughter go through one class last year.
Sorry, Tony, are you there, or have we lost you? I think we may have lost you, actually.
But I think we got through a lot of ground there. Tony Blair, our Prime Minister, is here at LBC 97.3 this morning, taking your calls on 0870 90 90 973.
Right, and now we're over to Peter from Chelsea. I'm sorry about that, Tony from Crystal Palace, but Peter from Chelsea.
Good morning, Mr. Blair.
Good morning.
I just would like to ask you about your immigration policies, because somebody like me, who's a honest, hard-working, law-abiding person who works long hours every day, and he used to be quite a liberal person, has turned into an angry and bitter, bigoted person now. Because all I see is people coming in, taking council houses, living on free money. And it just really, really angers me and loads and loads of people that I work with. What is going to be done on this? Are you going to start deporting people?
Okay, well, let me tell you what we are doing, Peter. I think it's important also to to balance this on the basis of what actually is happening now. I mean, the problem really has arisen in relation to asylum seeking. I mean, actually, in respect of immigration as a whole, the immigration laws are strict. People who come in usually with a work permit because they're actually going to work, and there are all sorts of rules that we can impose in those circumstances. The problem has arisen particularly in relation to asylum seeking, because people were coming into this country in significant numbers, claiming asylum when actually they were economic migrants. Now, what we've done, we have actually been working on this for the past 2 to 3 years, and we have put in new legislation, new frontier controls in France. We're introducing further legislation again in this forthcoming session of Parliament. The numbers actually claiming asylum now, today, are around about half of what they were a year ago, and they're still falling. We need to get them down further. And the number of people that we are deporting once their asylum claim has failed is significantly up. Now, I'm not saying there's not still a way to go, but please believe me when I say this is not an issue that we have been ignoring. We are working on it. But let me just explain to you what the difficulty is with instantly deporting someone once their asylum claim fails. The difficulty is you have to have a country to deport them back to, and the country will only accept them if they got proper documentation. And sometimes that takes time to do. That's the difficulty about deportation. But we are working on that as well. And all I can tell you is, I know it makes people angry. It's important to get it in context as a problem. It is a problem. We are dealing with it. And I think the measures that we're about to introduce, although some of them are very controversial, will deal with it still further.
But I don't know if you can understand, but racial or bigoted attacks are going to be on the increase because people are getting so angry. Unless you have one of these bedsits or houses full of bedsits right next door to you, you don't know what it's like when you're paying private rent and you're paying over the odds for rent and you're working hard and you see people getting all this for free.
Well, I understand the problem. It's exactly for that reason that we've introduced the measures that we've introduced, and there are more measures on the way. And all I can say to you is, whereas a year ago we had something like 8,000 to 9,000 of these claims every month, they're now down to less than 3,500, and they're still falling. Now, I agree there's still more to do, but I can assure you of one thing. We have not been simply sitting back and twiddling our thumbs and not bothering about it. We've been trying to change the system. And this is not a problem, incidentally, that's just peculiar to Britain. It's happening not just over Europe, all over Europe, but all over the world, as you get masses of people migrating in favour of a better economic standard of life. Now, there have been these abuses of the asylum system, and I know it's a real issue out there, and all I'm saying to you is, I understand the anger, but we are responding to it.
Peter in Chelsea, thank you for your call. The station that's giving you this opportunity to talk with our Prime Minister, Tony Blair, this morning is LBC 97.3. Tony.
Right, this is Tony Blair on LBC 97.3. More of your calls after the travel with Natalie Bailey.
We can see on our motorway cameras that the clockwise M25 very slow moving from junction 13 at Staines in toward junction 14 at Heathrow as you head through those roadworks. Of course, do bear in mind, this is just the start of the roadworks. They're going to be in for the next 2 years. So you've got a couple more months left at least of that disruption to continue. Heading westbound on the North Circular, very slow moving from Neasden in toward the Hanger Lane Duratory. Looking on the London Underground, I'm afraid no change, no Bakerloo line between Stonebridge Park and Harrow and Willesden, and delays on the Piccadilly and Central lines. LBC 97.3 Travel. Next update in half an hour.
Travel with eShore.com. Bringing you cheaper car insurance online. LBC.
Why come off a channel crossing into port?
When you can come off onto motorway. With a journey time of just 35 minutes from Folkestone to Calais-Coquel, Eurotunnel is the quickest way to get you and your car to France. And the terminal exit leads straight onto the motorway. For a faster way into France, just visit eurotunnel.com or call 08705 35 35 35. Eurotunnel. Inspiring possibilities.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Miss Anderson.
Richard?
Here, Miss.
Susan?
Here, Miss.
Catherine?
Here, Miss.
Bob?
Present, Miss.
Do you have a note regarding your absence, Bob?
No, Miss. I had to fix my daughter's wardrobe.
If you don't fancy going back to school, try your local Learn Direct Centre. You can get a national maths or English qualification, the same level as a GCSE, by taking a short test in a friendly, supportive environment. When you pass, you'll get a certificate in adult numeracy or literacy. It's recognised by employers, you can do it for free, and when you're free. Call 0800 200 800 for your nearest centre.
Thank you, Bob. Do you do plumbing?
Kids making a racket, boy bands versus computer games. Sometimes being at home is just as much pressure as being at work. Especially with the pressure pain of blocked sinuses on top of it all. It's just one pressure too many. So, get Lemsip Max Sinus Capsules with a max strength painkiller and decongestant to help release you from pressure pain and unblock your sinuses. You'll still have the family to deal with, but then you've always managed to do that. Lemsip Max, because life doesn't stop. Always read the label.
Want to ski low cost? Then why not hit the slopes with EasyJet? Fly low cost to the Alps or the Pyrenees with daily flights to Lyon, Munich, Geneva, Milan, and now Toulouse. All with our famous low fares starting from just $22.99 single. With so much choice, we've even given you an online guide to resorts, accommodation, and the latest snow reports. So what are you waiting for? Book online now at EasyJet.com. EasyJet, the web's favorite airline. Conditions apply.
LBC 97.3.
Call Tony Blair now.
0870 90 90 973.
Right, this is Tony Blair here taking your calls on LBC 97.3. Call me now on 0870 90 90 973. And we go first to Sam in Knightsbridge.
Hi, Prime Minister.
Hello.
I'm a British citizen of Iraqi origin. Point I'd like to make is, firstly, I feel that we have been misled in going into Iraq, as I think many people do in this country. But the point that I wanted to make, now that we are in Iraq, I would expect us to have a moral responsibility of taking a lead role in changing the system there, the system being recovering the infrastructure of Iraq, and not having an elected government until we have done that and moved out of there. Because I think all that will happen if we go in and have an elected government before the US and American troops leave is there's going to be a great deal of skepticism, rightly so, from the people of Iraq and the people outside here of how much involvement we will have in any government and any system that is set up there.
Okay, Sam, look, I won't enter into the argument about whether people misled or not, because your question is really about the administration in Iraq, and obviously I've got different views on that. But the important thing is to realise that we're actually trying to rebuild Iraq now, and indeed there are something like 17,000 different construction projects underway in Iraq now. And the whole of Iraq, as I saw for myself when I was there 10 days ago, is being transformed. Now, it's going to be difficult because we've still got a security problem with previous supporters of Saddam and various assorted foreign terrorists that are there, but I can assure you we are going to stay and get the job done. Now, in the end, obviously we want to move to a situation where Iraq is a democratic country, and that will be the first time that Iraqis are able to choose their own government and choose them in the way that they want. But I can assure you we are not going to walk away from this situation. And if Iraq goes right, as I hope it does, the impact on the whole of the Middle East will be enormous and beneficial.
Is your intent to have an elected government before American and US troops pull out?
Well, what we've done is we've set out a timetable for this, and the first stage would be an Iraqi administration that will take over from the American and British administration, and that should happen at the end of June, and then at a later time you move to elections. Now, obviously, we will help in whatever capacity we can, but in the end, no, we want to make sure this is turned over to the Iraqis themselves, but we shouldn't do that until the democracy is capable of functioning properly.
Sam in Knightsbridge, thank you so much for your call. This station is LBC 97.3, and we today are giving you the opportunity to put your thoughts, ideas and suggestions to our Prime Minister, Tony Blair.
Right, now we go to Kate in Wimbledon.
Hello, Tony.
Hello.
Hello. I heard recently about a movement being set up to form a Ministry of Peace. This is an idea that some people had. And when I first heard of it, I thought it was maybe a bit crackpot or a bit strange. But the more I thought about it, the more it made sense to me to have a group of people high up in government who are focusing on all sorts of different ways in which we can promote peace. So right down from just within small communities and within schools, right through to sort of international initiatives. So it might include things like UK schools having pen pals in Iraqi schools, or even doing exchanges in the future when it's safer. Lots of initiatives to try and get communication going to promote peace. What do you think of that idea?
Well, I think it's an interesting idea. I mean, I wouldn't think myself that you needed a separate ministry, because I think that could end up causing sort of confusion. But I think what is important is to try and make sure that both through the existing ministries that deal with our foreign relations, particularly obviously the Foreign Office and the Department for International Development, that we do everything we can to promote peace in the world. In fact, we are. I mean, one of the things that doesn't always get a lot of publicity, but in several of the conflicts in Africa at the moment, the British government has actually played a leading role in trying to set up a resolution of those conflicts that have killed, you know, literally millions of Africans in the past decade. And I think the idea of getting far better dialogue between school children in this country, and not just in Iraq but in other countries as well, is a very good one. And we've got the technology now, so it would be a sensible idea to use it. But sometimes I think people don't always know that the amount that's going on and the amount we're doing through the UN and through other international organisations. And it might help as well if we told people a little bit more about what we do there.
Kate, thank you for your call on the subject of peace here at LBC 97.3. Talking to our Prime Minister, here's another call.
Right, and it's Tess in Uxbridge.
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
I have an idea to put to you regarding benefits. I believe that people who have never claimed benefit in their life, and there are many of them, my parents both included, that if they never claimed benefit, never received any benefit, why not give them a no-claims bonus? Their pension added onto their pension when the time comes for them to retire. My father started work at 16 as a miner, left the pit one day and joined the RAF the next day. And he has never, he did over 35 years service, him and many others, never claimed any benefits at all, no sickness benefit, no unemployment benefit. And now he has retired.
Right.
And has never claimed anything. And there are thousands of people like him who receive no reward. They've paid in and paid in all their working life and get nothing back, basically.
Okay, well, I understand the point, Tess. I mean, I suppose there may be millions in that situation. I mean, the question would be who would pay the no-claims bonus?
But are there not many more who are actually sat there not doing anything and being rewarded for doing so? Where there are, like you say, probably millions. But why should they keep paying in and paying in and paying in for those who do not want to go out and work, who do not want to do anything, who think this country owes them a living?
I totally understand the point, Tess. Although, if you introduced a no-claims bonus, if you gave a sum of money to people who never claimed benefit, I mean, that money itself would have to come from somewhere. So you'd have to watch how you funded such a thing, that's all. But anyway, I'll certainly think about it. I mean, I think in the end, the main thing is to say to people who are on benefit but could work, we will offer you a job, but your obligation is to take it or you don't get the benefit. Now, that is actually what we're trying to do with the New Deal for the Unemployed. And that's the reason why we've got many fewer people on benefit now. But I totally understand the point, and I'll think about it. But I've got a feeling it's got quite a large cost to it. OK, Tess, many thanks for that. And then Barry in Holloway.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Blair.
Good morning.
Hello. Well, you're asking for suggestions. My suggestion is that when you eventually hand over the reins to somebody else, that you consider taking a job as an LBC phone-in presenter.
Well, thank you very much, Barry. I mean, I'm glad you said the word eventually. Otherwise, you might be suggesting it should happen any time soon.
Well, I'll tell you why I say that. I mean, I've been listening to you, and you really do, unlike some other presenters on other stations, of course, you really listen to the callers and you really respond to them.
Well, that's very kind of you to say it. Actually, the most interesting thing, you know, part of the problem with politics is that you very rarely get the chance to interact with people on a genuine basis. And one of the advantages of doing something like this is that you actually listen and hear what people are saying. So anyway, many thanks. It's very kind of you to say that to me, and I'll bear it in mind. What's the pay like here, Howard?
It's excellent, Prime Minister. The tax levels may be a little high. But
touché,
the pay's absolutely
right.
Fine.
We'll take that as another suggestion.
But I know you'll take
Howard,
that one away with you.
For the big conversation. Okay, this is Tony Blair, and I think I've got to say now, thank you very much for listening to my first show on LBC 97.3.
Prime Minister, I think we all believe that you did fantastically well, and I think you do have a career in broadcasting, but you've got lots of other things to do at the moment, I think. Now, we've ranged through an awful lot of subjects in the last hour. Peace, Iraq, foreign cars, taxes, fines, fathers' rights, immigration, and of course that idea about benefits, plus some comments on your broadcasting, which is excellent. Of all the ideas that people have been calling in with this morning, which one are you going to take away with you?
I think I'll take away more than one, actually, because there are things like making it clear that cannabis has not been made lawful that I think is actually important. You know, issues to do with the fathers and in the revenue and so on. I think the most interestingly is people's view that if you claim benefit, you should have some obligation to do your best to get into work, you know, and that we should help people, whether it's through childcare and other ways, but it shouldn't be a something-for-nothing deal. You know, there should be something for something, and I think that's an interesting idea.
So have we given you food for thought today?
Yes, absolutely, and as I say, it's always better when you're actually talking to people direct, and it's been very enjoyable. Thank you very much.
Now, those ideas that you'll take away with you, can you come back to us in 6 months and let us know how you get on?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to do that, actually. If you want to do that again, I'd be very happy to do it, because what we're trying to do is to have a genuine conversation so that we do come back and we do talk to people about, you know, whether it's whether some of these things are possible. I mean, sometimes things just have a big cost to them, so you've got to say to people, look, we'd love to do this, but we can't. But at least at the end of it, it's not that everyone will agree with us or we will agree with everyone, but at least you'll have a better understanding as to what the problems are, and that it's not that people in government are sitting there all badly motivated doing their worst for people, but it's sometimes these decisions are tough decisions. So,
Prime Minister, thank you so much on behalf of the management here and on behalf of London for making time for LBC 97.3. We'll see you in 6 months.
Thank you very much indeed. Right, that's the end of my show, and James O'Brien is next on LBC 97.3.
Lucy.
James.
Steve.
Samantha.
Luke.
Rob.
Dan.
Samantha.
Julie.
Mary.
Simon.
Samantha.
Sarah.
Ken.
Liz.
Samantha.
When you hear 1 in 4, it sounds like a lot. 1 in 4 Lotto jackpots is won by a national lottery syndicate. If you want to start up a syndicate, just log on to nationallottery.co.uk or call 0845 910000. Players must be 16 or over. Games, rules and procedures apply.
Want to ski low cost? Then why not hit the slopes with EasyJet? Fly low cost to the Alps or the Pyrenees with daily flights to Lyon, Munich, Geneva, Milan and now Toulouse. All with our famous low fares starting from just $22.99 single. With so much choice, we've even given you an online guide to resorts, accommodation and the latest snow reports. So what are you waiting for? Book online now at EasyJet.com. EasyJet, the web's favourite airline. Conditions apply.
With Tiscali Broadband, you get an always-on internet connection that doesn't tie up your phone line.
Well, but it costs a blooming fortune.
No, sir. Only $15.99 a month and you get a free modem.
But what about setup?
Completely free, madam.
Oh.
Tiscali Broadband is up to 3 times faster than standard dial-up for just $15.99. With free modem and free setup, there's really no excuse. Call 0800 107 9000 or visit tiscali.co.uk. Requires BT line in Tiscali Broadband area. Minimum contract and conditions apply.
Heavy meetings, impossible deadlines, crashing computers. Sometimes work is just one pressure after another. And the last thing you need on top of all that is the pressure pain of blocked sinuses. It's just one pressure too many. So, get Lemsip Max Sinus Capsules with a max strength painkiller and decongestant to help release you from pressure pain and unblock your sinuses. There's still the pressure of work to deal with, but then you've always managed to do that. Lemsip Max, because life doesn't stop. Always read the label.
This is LBC 97.3, London.
At 11 o'clock, good morning, I'm Cormac McMahon. Well, as you've been hearing, the Prime Minister's been taking your calls for the last hour here on LBC 97.3. Tony Blair's become the first serving British Prime Minister to host his own radio phone-in show. It's part of Labour's Big Conversation, an attempt to involve voters in finding solutions to major policy challenges such as crime, transport, health and education. Mr Blair addressed the problem of attracting teachers to London.
I hope the situation will ease. I mean, it's particularly difficult in London because there's such a, you know, such a pressure on employment and particularly on housing as well. And what we're also trying to do is to make sure that key workers in teaching and, for example, in nursing, where also we've got problems recruiting people and are having to recruit people from abroad as a result, that we're also giving some help to those people with housing costs, because that's a big reason why it's difficult to get people, you know, to come and teach it in places like London. But we are trying to do this. And I just say to you, in London, actually, school standards are rising. We've still got a way to go, but they are actually rising. And our teachers now in this country are probably amongst the best paid in Europe, at least, although, again, there's still a long way we've got to go.
Well, the Prime Minister also said it's been a learning experience with lots of useful ideas for him to take away.
I think I'll take away more than one, actually, because there are things like making it clear that cannabis has not been made lawful that I think is actually important. You know, issues to do with the fathers and Inland Revenue and so on. I think the most interesting thing is people's view that if you claim benefit, you should have some obligation to do your best to get into work, you know, and that we should help people, whether it's through childcare and other ways, but it shouldn't be a something-for-nothing deal. You know, there should be something for something, and I think that's an interesting idea.
Prime Minister Tony Blair hosting the last hour here on LBC 97.3. Harold Shipman is dead. Britain's most prolific serial killer was found hanging in his cell at Wakefield Jail at 20 past six this morning. Shipman was convicted 4 years ago of murdering 15 of his patients in Greater Manchester. However, a report by High Court Judge Dame Janet Smith found the former GP could have killed as many as 260 patients. His apparent suicide follows the death of Fred West in his cell back in 1995. Sally Freeman's mother was one of Shipman's victims.
Well, obviously just very shocked. Very angry that he's not going to pay for his crimes now, is he? But I think it's fairly typical. He's a coward.
Well, nobody knows exactly what Shipman's motive may have been. He's always pleaded his innocence. Wensley Clarkson is author of Good Doctor, a book about Harold Shipman. He's told LBC 97.3 the news isn't a shock to him.
I'm not surprised. Deeply intelligent guy, Shipman. He's taken all the secrets, and this might sound strange, but there are many more secrets than we know about, in other words, numbers of people that he's killed, to his grave. And I'm astounded, but I'm not surprised. There was no way he was going to survive in prison for a long life.
The inquiry has opened formally into how double murderer Ian Huntley got a job as a school caretaker. The hearing will look at why information was not shared between agencies on sex allegations previously made against him. Huntley was, of course, convicted last month of murdering Holly Wells and Jessica Chapman. David Hart is General Secretary of the Head Teachers Association. He wants to see school support staff in the same stringent checking category as teachers, but warns it's a difficult area.
If a person is on the receiving end of false or malicious allegations which are found not to have been valid by the police, then I think it's unfair that that information should go to a prospective employer, because that will certainly kill their career.
British Airways will accept armed guards on its flights if it is clear that security will be enhanced. The airline's chief executive, Rod Eddington, has said that in the current climate, an armed police officer might have a place in aviation security. Speaking for the first time about the controversy over the use of Sky Marshals, Mr. Eddington repeated his belief that guns and planes do not mix. And we always enjoy stories about thick or cowardly villains. Here's a good one from Copenhagen. Two men phoned police for help after being chased by the owner of the car they'd just stolen. They realised the furious victim was in hot pursuit in another car, and they called ahead, pleading with officers to arrest them at the next corner. And their wish came true. London's weather, a windy day with sunny spells and a scattering of blustery showers. Highs getting up to 12 degrees. Right now it's 9 degrees in Stoke Newington. Tonight starting mainly dry, but like last night, heavy rain before dawn. Tomorrow, the early rain clearing to leave a bright but colder day. LBC 97.3 weather with Well Woman capsules. Health and vitality designed especially for women. It's 11:04.
Tune in to London.
Get away with Renault.
Get away.
Get away with a lot more than you imagine.
For a lot less than you think.
With Avantage Renault, and take advantage of free equipment packs worth up to £2,100 on selected versions.
For example, get a free panoramic sunroof for your Espace.
Enjoy free climate control for your new Clio, Megane or Scenic.
Or go places with free satellite navigation for your new Laguna.
And lots more besides when you buy on a Renault Selections finance scheme. That's Avantage Renault.
To get away with more Renault for less, go with Avantage Renault today. For written details, call 0800 5250.
that ate him, but efforts failed. Shipman was jailed for life in 2000 for the killing of 15 patients. An inquiry later decided he'd actually taken the lives of at least 215, something he never admitted. Wesley Clarkson wrote a book on the case and has just been giving his reaction to LBC 97.3.
I'm not surprised. Deeply intelligent guy, Shipman. He's taken all the secrets, and this might sound strange, but there are many more secrets than we know about. In other words, numbers of people that he's killed, to his grave. And I'm astounded, but I'm not surprised. There was no way he was going to survive in prison for a long life.
There will be an investigation into this. Just to repeat that news, killer medic Harold Shipman is dead this morning, found hanged in his cell. The inquiry into how Ian Huntley was able to work as a school caretaker, even though he had passed form, begins today in Holborn. Huntley was convicted of the murders of Holly and Jessica last month. Later, a string of past sex allegations came out. David Hart, who runs the Head Teachers Association, wants to see better checks on school staff, as long as the checkers are very careful.
If a person is on the receiving end of false or malicious allegations which are found not to have been valid by the police, then I think it's unfair that that information should go to a prospective employer, because that will certainly kill their career.
One of the Prime Minister's critics is going away. The longest-serving MP in the Commons, Labour's Tam Dyel, will step down at the next election. That news from his agent this morning. He's 71 and was first elected in 1962. Here's LBC 97.3's political editor Mark Demery's take on this.
He's been considering this for some time and made it clear in private that he wasn't going to continue past whenever Tony Blair decides to call the next general election. Old Etonian lives in a castle up in Scotland. He's got plenty to do up there. He's been a trenchant critic of Tony Blair over Iraq, and I suppose there'll be not too many tears in Downing Street to see him go. Wouldn't be surprised, though, if Tony Blair doesn't immediately offer him a peerage just to make it look like he's being a nice boy.
It's been confirmed a British soldier in Iraq died because of a shortage of body armour. Sergeant Stephen Roberts was shot in the chest in March last year. Conservative defence spokesman Nicholas Soames, who's seen a preliminary note on the incident, says our soldiers were not given all sufficient protection.
Our contention is that it is a disgraceful state of affairs of British troops should have been sent into action and placed in harm's way without all of them having the right protective kit.
As left union leaders meet underground managers at Peacemakers ACAS in Borough later to try and settle a long-running driver's dispute about pay, the union has warned the dispute could hold up plans for a 3 or 4 year wage deal on the tubes. The weather for London is like this. Windy, rain will clear, then bright and blustery, 12 Celsius the top. In Hounslow now, it's 9 Celsius. LBC 97.3 weather with Well Woman capsules, one a day health and vitality for women. It's 3 minutes past 9, checking travel now, and in the LBC 97.3 Travel Centre, here's Georgina Argyrou.
We've got some problems continuing for the M25 anti-clockwise. Still 20-minute delay from Junction 29 at the A127 in toward Junction 28 at the A12 following an earlier accident. Very busy picture coming London bound on the M3 with a 40-minute delay from 5 at Hook in toward Junction 2 at the M25 following the earlier crash. A501 City Road going southbound, so we're heading out of town. That's closed off at the Finsbury pavement with a burst water main. Diversions in operation taking via Finsbury Square, and London bound the A13 still very slow moving from Pitsea to Stamford La Hope. For the London Underground, longer to wait for services on the Piccadilly line after safety checks at Earls Court. South Eastern and South Central reporting short notice alterations and cancellations with signal problems, and on South Eastern as well, a tree on the line in the Godston area means delays of over an hour and a half, short notice alterations as well, and it means services into London Bridge are being diverted. Next update in 15 minutes. LBC 97.3 Travel with eShore.com, bringing you cheaper car insurance online. Tuned in London,
LBC. Here we go again.
Are they whistling at us?
Oh, yeah. I can't go anywhere these days.
Ready for the new Renault Master? Handsome looks backed up by robustness, reliability and economy. Improved performance engines, including a new 3-litre diesel with 6-speed gearbox, means they don't hang around. With driver's airbag, ABS and CD player as standard, as well as sat-nav and aircon options, you could find it all rather attractive.
I feel so violated.
For further details on the new Renault Master, call 0800 52 51 50 or visit renault.co.uk. Renault. Vans that run and run and run.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0870 90 90 973.
Creepy, isn't it, that the way Shipman dies is at the end of a rope, found hanging. If you're just joining us, by the way, good morning. You're listening to Nick Ferrari at breakfast. It's 9:05. Some of us have been working for the last couple of hours. Some of us have been here since 7. A big scoop coming up for LBC. I have mentioned a couple of times the Prime Minister is going to have his own radio show here on LBC from 10 o'clock for 1 hour. So that gives us 55 minutes to romp through some of the stories. We're going to be talking about MMR, which is an aspect or story you may want to talk to the Prime Minister about. Of course, the controversy over his own youngest child with that shot, that injection. But news that broke within the last 15 minutes is that the body of Dr. Harold Shipman was found hanging in his cell at Wakefield Prison. And I wonder whether... I'm going to be honest with you. No point doing this show if I'm not honest with you. I'm not proud of myself. But my first reaction when I heard that is a terrible... It was good. Great. Saved us all a job. How spooky that it would be on the end of a rope. Particularly when you consider that when the case ended, so many people would have said, hang him, just execute him. String him up! Put him in the town square and string him up. But what does it mean... And Afshin, I'm coming to you in a second about your MMR. But what does it mean for the great debate over capital punishment, over hanging and life imprisonment? Because presumably, for the time that Dr. Shipman has been imprisoned, I would imagine he's gone through mental torment. He's gone through utter anguish. He's gone through a living hell. So bad that he ultimately decided to take his own life. And I have to say, if you're from the point of view over some form of punishment, some form of almost retribution for your crimes, then the idea that he was forced to endure a life of misery, a life of, when I say deprivation as much as he wouldn't have been surrounded by his books and his normal lifestyle and the fact that he was a doctor, all of that taken away from him, and he finally decides he has to kill himself, he has to hang himself, then maybe for the debate over hanging versus life imprisonment, is this actually a tick in the box of life imprisonment because the guilty party is made to suffer more? You'll have views on that. You'll also perhaps have views on the demise of Dr. Shipman, and also, although this obviously will be the subject of inquiries, and you know now we'll have the statement, lessons must be learned, but quite how somebody like him can, and we don't know, but presumably get hold of a belt or a shoelace or a piece of rope, whatever he's used, or a bed sheet, I don't know, knot it together. It's extraordinary that something like that could happen. Yeah, you'll have views on that. Please come into the onto the usual phone lines and the emails and the faxes, and we'll have those. A lot of people coming in and want to speak about the MMR. Afshin is in Nebworth. You're on the wireless, Afshin.
Hi, good morning, Nick.
What a sensational name.
Thank you.
Have we spoken before?
Yes, we have, yeah. We spoke when President Bush was coming.
Oh, that was a good day. We like President Bush.
Do we?
Yes, we do. You know we do.
You're something to talk about.
Now, tell me about your children.
Well, I've got three children. I've got a five-year-old, a three-year-old, and now a six-month-old.
Yes.
The older two obviously have been immunised against MMR. The older two, however, are girls.
Right.
And now I have a baby boy.
Right.
And I was just
How old is the baby?
He's 6 months now. So he's got a little while now, about a year before he has the MMR.
Right.
But I was just telling my husband, actually, this morning, I said, you know, irrelevant of the fact of whether the MMR is safe or not, I said, unless he's talking at least six clear words by the time he's 18 months, he's not going to have the MMR done straight away.
And how have you worked that out as your sort of testing point? How have you come to that?
I've got a friend who's a GP, and he said to me, he goes, you know, if you're not confident that your child is speaking six clear words by the time they're 18 months, then you shouldn't have it done.
Right.
And it's more common in boys, apparently, autism.
Yes, right, right.
So he did say to me, he goes, you know, if you're not happy by 18 months that he's speaking six words, then you shouldn't have it done. And the other thing is that even if you have the single vaccine, now they're saying that, they're not sure if your child's going to be properly immunised even with the single vaccine, so you can't win. really.
Of course, we're talking about this because of the latest, what's reported, the latest pressure from the government that the funding to certain NHS practices could be restricted if they don't meet their targets.
Yeah.
Have you had pressure regarding your children from nurses?
No, not really. I mean, I did have concerns, obviously, when I went to have my first child done, and, you know, it was just that thing of, oh, well, it's better to be immunised than not to be immunised.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was okay. And I asked about the single vaccine, and they said, oh, well, we don't provide the single vaccine, so if you want the single vaccine, you need to do it privately.
Yes.
You know, and do your research and find out. And, you know, I spoke to my husband, he said, no. He goes, you know, it's fine, it's safe. In fact, funnily enough, one of the doctors that originally brought up the whole MMR thing, a friend of his is a very good friend of ours. And he said to me, there's nothing to worry about. There's no truth in it. It was just a very secluded study. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't any sort of information that now, if you look back at it.
Yes.
That you would think that, yeah, there is something to worry about. He goes, you know, and he's had his own kids immunized, my friend who works.
Yes.
That's the thing. So I don't know. I mean, you know, you're sort of sitting on the fence still at the moment because you don't know what to do.
I tell you, all the young mums and dads, for that matter, have my enormous sympathy. It is very, very difficult for you out there. Afshin, thank you for that. Listen, I promise I'll remember your name next time.
Okay.
It's such an exotic name. Good luck with those kids of yours.
Thank you, Nick.
Have yourself a great day. Afshin, thank you. Let's turn now to news that's broken within the last, just under 20 minutes. The death of Dr. Harold Shipman found hanging in his cell at Wakefield. Mark's in Kingston. You're on the wireless, Mark.
Hello, Nick.
G'day, mate.
Caller, mate.
Hey, thanks for ringing. How long have you been listening?
About 2 years now.
Thanks for phoning me, mate.
Okay, Mr. Shipman, if I can use the term mister.
Well, he's a doctor.
I was a bit astounded to hear both yourself and the author of his biography,
yes,
say that he should have had 24-hour round-the-clock coverage. Now, you know, forgive me for saying this, but at the end of the day, this is a man who, in my opinion, has lost all rights in society by murdering God knows how many people.
Well, 15 that we know of, and it's thought many more, yeah.
Why the hell should we, as a taxpayer, pay even more money to have somebody to watch him 24 hours a day when the world's better off without him?
Well, because I would argue, Mark, and by the way, I agree the world is better off without him, but then I would argue if you're going to do it, then let's do it legally at the point of conviction, and let's do it properly, and in a way, let's do it decently, and let's hang him then, rather than allow...
We don't have the death penalty, Nick, so we can't use that argument, and until we get it...
No.
You know, I think at the end of the day, he's... You know, he had the right to take his own life, just like any of us do.
Yeah, mate, if he had bungled it, he could have sued the prison authorities.
Yeah, somebody would have been in trouble, I agree with you.
No, he could have sued the prison authorities.
Yeah.
So if we're going to have these people, if we're going to have somebody, if we decide now that people can go around, as we know, murdering 15 others, and many, many more that we can't get convictions for, if we have a society where we're just going to say, well, you know what, we're going to lock them away for the rest of their life, we then have to watch these people. That's a fact of life. I would rather, much rather, be in a situation where we did a legal... state-authorised execution of people such as that.
No, I agree with you. Couldn't agree more. But whilst we don't have that, we can't do anything about it. And I just can't, I just don't think it's worthwhile or why we should be expected to pay. It costs something like £1 million a year to keep a prisoner in prison anyway.
I don't think it's a million, is it? I think that may be an inflated figure. Lastly, Mark, can I ask you, are you mourning, or did you react when you heard the news that he's dead?
I wouldn't say joy, because I think that's probably too strong a word. I think relief, probably. I'm certainly not unhappy, let's put it that way.
Mark, thank you. John's in Croydon. How did you feel when you heard the news, John?
I was angry.
Tell me why.
Because he's taken the easy way out. He's cheated the families of the victims from the suffering a proper punishment of many, many years in prison, 20 or 30 years of the rest of his life.
Yes.
This is actually one of the main reasons why I'm against capital punishment.
Why?
Because it's the easy way out and it's not a proper punishment. If he had stayed in prison for another 20 years or if he had been younger, it would have been 50 years, then he would have had to think in his own mind every day through what he's done and the crimes which he's committed.
Yes.
And I think even somebody who is as arrogant and self-centred as Dr. Shipman was would have at least a tiny little bit of something somewhere in his mind of being aware of and feeling something for the amount of hurt that he's caused to his victims, and that would...
Wow, I mean, that is just sheer naked revenge, isn't it?
Well...
I'm not saying... Listen, my friend, I'm not saying you're wrong, but that is just sheer naked revenge that you're expressing there.
Well, I would call it punishment. In a way, I think there's a theory that the most effective punishment is not the question of whether you're in prison or out of prison or what the conditions are when you're in prison, but the actual thought in your own mind of knowing what you've done and having to cope with that. And I think actually probably most murderers, well, most inverted commas or ordinary murderers would continue thinking that even after they've been released after 15 or 20 years. My main thought is that this is just he's just selfishly taken the easy way out instead of suffering the
effects of long-term... Yeah. John, thank you for that. John says that... we'll talk again soon, I'm sure. John says that his emotion was anger. He wouldn't use... And also, he wouldn't use the word joy, but a sense of relief. How did you feel when you heard the news? It's only about 25 minutes ago that you heard it as well. The killer doctor, one of Britain's biggest ever serial killers, Dr. Harold Shipman, was found hanging in his cell at Wakefield. Did you feel angry? And what does it mean for the debate of life imprisonment versus capital punishment? Does this mean, in fact, that in a way, forcing people to endure such a Shipman, to endure a life imprisonment, is in a strange way better punishment or better retribution? We'll continue our conversation in a second. You're listening to LBC. It's 16 after 9, which means it's time to get a little bit of travel. And it's Natalie Bailey. Hi, Nat.
Good morning, Nick. It's been a very busy situation this morning for the M3. What happened was an earlier accident between Junction 3 at Lightwater and Junction 2 at the M25. Now, it has all been cleared away and shifted to the side of the road. We have still got that 40-minute delay all the way back toward Junction 5 at Hook. And out of town, still looking very slow moving as well with onlookers. Staying with the motorway stretches, we've got some queues along the Essex patch going anti-clockwise from 30 in towards 28. It's looking quite heavy going. And clockwise as well, approaching Junction 28, also looking quite slow moving following an earlier smash. Stop start anti-clockwise queues from 16 at the M40 in towards Junction 15 at the M4 going in toward those roadworks. And along the northern boundary of that congestion charge zone on the A501 City Road, the closure still remains of the southbound carriageway at Finsbury Pavement with that burst water main and diversions taking you around Finsbury Square. For the London Underground, longer to wait for services on the Piccadilly line after safety checks at Earls Court. South Eastern and South Central reporting short notice and alterations with signal problems between Charing Cross and London Bridge. And they've implemented some speed restrictions on wagon and GNER trains to and from King's Cross because of the highway. It means services are subject to 20-minute delays, and things are much worse on South Eastern due to the high winds. We've got a tree on the line in the Godston area. It means delays of over an hour and a half and short-notice alterations. Next update in 15 minutes, LBC 97.3 Travel with eShore.com, bringing you cheaper car insurance online.
When the big names want to hear from London, they choose LBC 97.3. This morning at 10, it's the Prime Minister who will be asking you what should be done about the issues facing London and the rest of the country. Join Tony Blair in a radio first as he gets behind the mic for his own phone-in show. This morning at 10, exclusively on LBC 97.3. Tuned in to London.
Looking for a property abroad? Then look no further than Alexandra Palace this Friday, Saturday and Sunday. The best new and resale properties from around the world are coming to London. Find out everything you need to know about buying property overseas. There's free investment advice, free legal advice, free admission and free parking. So whether you're looking for an investment, retirement or simply a second home, come to the Alexandra Palace Overseas Property Exhibition from David Phillips this Friday, Saturday and Sunday, 16th, 17th and 18th of January from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. See press for details.
James, where are you, mate? We're all waiting for you.
Oh, I'm stuck here doing my tax return.
Oh, well, why don't you go out and buy TaxCalc?
TaxCalc?
If you don't complete it in 30 minutes, you get your money back.
Huh?
And it's guaranteed to be accurate.
Oh,
Great!
But where do I get tax calc?
James, this is a radio advert. Just listen to the announcer.
Buy tax calc for less than £20 from PC World, Staples, Amazon.co.uk or direct from taxcalc.com.
Oh, thanks, mate.
You're welcome.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0870-9090-973.
Of course, that telephone number you just heard is also good for the Prime Minister, who is going to be on this radio station right after 10 o'clock. He's doing his own phone-in programme. It's part of the big conversation, and he's here for the hour, 10 through 11. You can also email questions through to him. And much as you email me, courtesy of my first name, Nick, it's the same for the Prime Minister. He's decided to have his first name. So it's tony@lbc.co.uk. And in that way, you can put your question, your point, one of the issues of the day, to the Prime Minister, who's going to be on this radio show. Emails have actually come in. I made a suggestion a little while ago that if you hear the Prime Minister talking about billions of dollars, and refusing to give out the phone number, he might have learned something from me. Stephen in Shirley says, I think you could be a great model for the Prime Minister's forthcoming show on LBC. I wonder if he'll discuss Ladies and Gentlemen or Jason strapping his naughty bits to a car battery. It's an amusing thought. Questions could be asked in the House at question time regarding these issues. What a super idea. Be sure to listen. I am now the official warm-up man for the Prime Minister. I've done many jobs in my 25-year career, but this probably has to be one of the better ones. Coming back to a story that broke, what have we got to do? About half an hour ago now. Killer doctor Harold Shipman found hanging in his cell at Wakefield. I should tell you that we're getting various comments now from the prison authorities and indeed from the prison service concerning his imprisonment at Wakefield. They say since Shipman arrived at Wakefield in June 2003, so was it just over 6 months ago, he had not been on a suicide watch and was on normal location following a normal regime. Emails coming in on this subject. Peter Salter in Rotherhithe says a hanging in a cell is more akin to a choking, as the person concerned cannot get the drop to break the neck and at the same time avoid being in a position to try and rescue themselves. And Edward in Stanmore of the SLSL campaign, that's Save London, Sack Livingstone, I don't know if you're going to take any comments, but if Harold Shipman has hanged himself, he clearly found the prospect of death preferable to life in prison. Oh, this is what I've just been saying. This must surely prove that the pro-hanging brigade have got it totally wrong as to which is the greater deterrent. Steve's in Hornchurch. Do you reckon are you part of the pro-hanging brigade or against?
Well, it doesn't have to be hanging, Nick, but I would like to see the death penalty back, yeah.
He seems to have endured, Dr. Shipman seems to have endured more as a result of this, doesn't he?
Yeah, but it was short-lived. At least he's gone, and it's saving the taxpayer a hell of a lot of money. But the thing is that the guy you've got coming on at 10 o'clock has signed away our right to ever bring it back again anyway.
It could be done. I'm not saying it's easy. It could be done. It would take a lot of will.
Well, it's not so much a big conversation, you know, if you don't really listen. I mean, there's an old saying that you've got two ears and one mouth, and you should use them in that order.
Are you in your baronial hall at the moment?
No, I'm not. I'm in an empty flat. I'm just about to start work on it. It's echoing around like a...
When you
I'm
say...
I'm opening the window now, and it should sound a bit...
Oh,
better.
That's a bit... But when you say you're in an empty... What, have you just robbed it?
I'm not saying nothing now. No, I'm just about to start working it, and, yeah, it's echoing a bit.
When you heard me say about half an hour ago Shipman was dead, what was the first emotion that went through your heart or your head?
Same as yourself, good.
Yeah. Not proud of it, though, are we?
We're certainly not proud of the way the society's become, that the guys allowed to do this sort of thing in the first place. I mean, surely if we brought back the death penalty, then it would be so much of a deterrent anyway, and you can imagine that the crimes would be dropping first of all.
Yes, I see what you say. Listen, good luck with it all, Steve. We'll talk again soon. You can shut the window. Shut the window now and get on with your work.
Thanks a lot.
Take it easy. More emails coming in on this subject. Thanks for that, Steve. More emails. Richard says some serious questions have to be asked of the Home Secretary and the prison service. In the UK, these evil, sick and selfish individuals are sentenced to life as punishment. It's only a couple of months ago that we read of two other high-profile prisoners, Huntley and Carr, who attempted to get away with punishment and commit suicide. Thanks for that one. And this email is from Lisa, who's in Middlesex, who says, keeping these people alive is punishment, Nick. It's not revenge. What if Huntley had succeeded in his pre-trial suicide attempt, knowing what we do now? Well, of course, that speaks very much to the point that the author of the book, The Good Doctor, Wednesday Clarkson, was making just before the 9 o'clock news when we were talking about this, that for the families, there will be, I would imagine, even more anger and even more distress and even more upset that he now has gone to his grave taking so many more secrets with him. And it just heaps more and more misery and suffering on those poor families, doesn't it? We've got more calls on coming in on that in just a second. One other thing, I don't know if you've seen this. Can I just tell? There's a group of employees with British Airways, 68, former employees of British Airways, who are taking the airline to an industrial tribunal. Because if you're part of air crew, as opposed to ground crew, you have to retire at 55. And there are 5 test cases, 3 of which are women who are aged respectively 57, 55 and 56, who are saying that they oppose the 55 rule, which is you have to retire at 55, and they say that it's a discrimination, it's ageism. What utter cobblers. Please support me on this. When you fly, when you go up in the air, you want to be served. You want somebody to come round with the drinks. You want somebody to come round with the napkins. Who is attractive? It can be a boy or a girl. Doesn't matter. But the oldest you could be would be your mid-40s. You don't want to be up there being served by your Auntie Deirdre, by a woman who looks like your Auntie Deirdre. There are places for old women in society. Of course there are. There are certain jobs they can do. Florists. Very good. If I go to a florist to buy flowers, I want an old woman to put the bouquet together because they're experienced in it. They can do that. No problem at all. Sandwich shops. Very good to have an old woman working in a sandwich shop. Because she's going to put a bit of extra marge on, isn't she? She's going to slip an extra rasher in. Because old women are like that. And she'll do it with a bit of a wink and a grin. Serving me champagne when I'm in first class flying London, Los Angeles. No, I'm sorry. I want a 21-year-old girl called something like Stephanie. Melanie. Those sort of names. You know? Buffy. I don't want somebody called Marjorie. Or Elsie. Those are not names for first-class girls. So, British Airways, stick to your guns, you're absolutely right. We'll have some reaction on that maybe in a second. Blanche actually would do. Blanche would be... Well, Blanche as a name sounds pretty good. Hello, I'm Blanche, I'm in first class. Hi, I'm Blanche, I'm in first class. Then sort of business class, you could have a Susan. And then ordinary tourist class, you have a Philippa. Blanche is in Elstree. Hello, Blanche.
Nick, I haven't got your money to travel first class.
Yes, you have.
Definitely have not.
God, I'd like to be a penny behind
right.
You.
Now I'm going to start the biggest row that's ever been on LBC, I think.
Go on, then. What are you going to say?
I think he gave, for a twisted reason...
You're talking about Dr. Shipman now,
yes,
Blanche. Yeah,
a
go on.
Kinder and better end for the elderly than your next guest has in store for us.
Okay, but it wasn't... They didn't request it.
No, but
I know what you're saying, my love, but they...
Kinder, nicer,
no.
More caring.
No.
Good night.
Blanche, it's... No, it would be known as murder.
Yep.
Right. Well, you know, whichever way you define
the elderly don't get murdered in hospital.
No, they
one
don't.
Way or
no. No, they don't get murdered.
Oh, lack of liquid.
No, they
lack
hang
of
on.
Food.
They get they get criminally ignored. They are victims of criminal negligence. They do not get murdered where a doctor comes round and pumps drugs in that they know will kill them.
Slow murder.
Pardon?
It's slow murder.
No, no. How did you feel when you heard the news?
I've always felt that though he did it from twisted reasons, basically he thought he was helping them. Basically, somewhere in his past, he saw so much suffering that he believed he was helping them.
Blanche, thanks for your input. I know what you're saying, and I'm sure you'll be listening to the Prime Minister, won't you, in a few minutes?
About,
yeah, and try and get a call into him in just over half an hour's time. It's the regular number, or email tony@yadayadayad.yodayadayo. But you can't say that that's... Lawrence is in Cheam. Good morning, Lawrence.
Morning, Nick. Happy New Year to you.
Well, hello, mate, and to you. Gosh, how long does this go on?
Listen, what I wanted to say is, I think that the fact that Harold Shipman committed suicide, as far as I'm concerned, is the greatest thing ever. And I would actually instigate for murderers of children... even paedophiles, obviously, and mass murderers like Shipman, hang loose in the cell. Because we're democratic, we have the freedom of the right to choose.
You'd instigate and, what, did you say? I'm sorry.
Hangman's noose in the cell.
Hangman's loose in the cell. I see.
Oh, yeah, so that they had the choice, and every day they had to look at that noose and make the decision, do I want to commit suicide? Because I think there's two sides to it, you see. I think there's an honourable suicide.
Well, I hope the Prime Minister knows what he's walking into in half an hour. Oh, I can laugh now that he's going to be taking some of this in half an hour. Lawrence, you can't have prisoners waking up looking at a hanging noose.
Why not? They've committed the ultimate
Because then the minute he tops himself, I'm going to assume it's a he, the minute he tops himself, his family come round and say that it was state-encouraged suicide, and they'll sue us for £5 million.
Oh, we're past the law somewhere along the line not to evade that.
Oh, well, we've sorted that out then.
Absolutely. Next!
Next! Bring it on, Lawrence. Safe driving. Thanks for that. We'll wrap up our conversation concerning the death. The early demise of Dr. Harold Shipman and, of course, reaction to that British Airways Tribunal as well. It's 9:30 here on LBC.
You know what I want?
The hunky bar, man.
Yes, obviously. But really, I want to fix my call chances, especially after Christmas, without giving up my BT phone line.
You can, if two can.
Who can? Two can. You keep your BT line and it's just $12.99 a month for your calls anytime to any UK landline, plus great international rates.
$12.99 a month?
Fantastic. Have you got the number?
Yes, it's 0800 0613 601. And join between now and the 1st of February and they give you £5 free calls.
And £5 free calls. I suppose you've got the Bahamas number too, have you?
Oh. Excludes calls to premium rate, non-voice and other non-geographic numbers. Call 0800 0613 601 or visit www.toucantelli.com for details.
At which, our research has shown that adverts with unusual sound effects have more impact. So here goes. You may have received a mail pack with details of a 3-month free trial of Which magazine. Plus our online service, helpline and our £300,000 double money draw. Reply today, call us on 0800 953 3535 or visit trywitch.co.uk. Your payment details will be required for when your free trial ends and no purchase necessary for entry to the double money draw. I think that worked.
This is LBC 97.3, London.
You're just half an hour away from the Tony Blair phone-in show here on LBC, but before that, let's catch up with the latest news with Howard Hughes.
Serial killer Dr. Harold Shipman has been found hanging in his prison cell this morning. Staff tried to resuscitate him, but he was pronounced dead just after 8 o'clock. The man they called Dr. Death was jailed in 2000 for murdering 15 of his patients while he was a GP in Manchester. Sally Freeman's mother was one of the victim's relatives.
Well, obviously just very shocked, very angry that he's not going to pay for his crimes now, is he? But I think it's fairly typical. He's a coward.
The word is the victims' families will feel cheated this morning. They'll never now get to know the reason for all of this. There will be an inquiry into Shipman's death, but Sky's crime correspondent Martin Brunt says whatever precautions, any suicide in jail is very hard to stop.
Prisoners still do find the most ingenious ways of committing suicide, and I think any prison officer will tell you that it really is impossible to fully prevent anybody taking their lives. This will be where the focus of the investigation will rest, I think. But huge embarrassment. Somebody as high profile like that should not be allowed to kill themselves.
The inquiry formally opens this morning into how Soham murderer Ian Huntley got his job as a school caretaker. It'll look at the vetting system that failed to pick up the string of sex allegations against him. One of the Prime Minister's critics is going away. The longest-serving MP in the Commons, Tam Dyel, will step down at the next election. That news from his agent this morning. Dyel, 71, and was first elected in 1962. It's been confirmed a British soldier in Iraq died because of a shortage of body armour. Sergeant Stephen Roberts was shot in the chest in March last year. Tory defence spokesman Nicholas Soames, who's seen some of the evidence, he says, our soldiers were not given the right right protection, not all of them. Stansted is the big winner in numbers that show a boost for the nation's airports. The Essex airport had nearly 19 million passengers in 2003. That's up nearly 17% on the year before. The weather for London is like this. It is going to be windy. The rain will clear. Then it'll be bright and blustery. Still not bright here in West London yet. 12 Celsius the top, and in Edmonton this hour, 9 Celsius. LBC 97.3's world weather in Miami, partly cloudy and 22. In Lisbon, partly cloudy and 16 Celsius, and in Copenhagen, 3 Celsius and snow.
LBC 97.3, world weather.
With Antigua and Barbuda, where the weather is much better.
Thanks for that. Travel time, it's Natalie Bailey. Good morning, Natalie.
Nick, we've got some very busy queues on the South Circular in the south of town heading westbound. 15-minute delays between Wandsworth and Kew as you head along that route. Now, I can see average speeds there of 5, even touching down to around 0 miles per hour. Now, I do know some lights are out on the Wandsworth roundabout, so possibly maybe something to do with that. They're not working properly on the south side of the Wandsworth roundabout. North Circular going westbound, we've got the delay from the Great Cambridge Road in toward Henley's Corner, and no change for the City Road heading southbound, and the closure still in at Finsbury Pavement with the burst water main and diversions taking you around Finsbury Square. Traffic easing off nicely on the M3 coming London Man following the earlier delays after the earlier crash there. Still a little bit of bunching up from Junction 4A at Farnborough in toward Junction 3 at the Lightwater Tunnel. That queue easing off quite nicely. And anti-clockwise M25 approaching the roadworks along the western stretch. We have got stop-start queues from 15 at the M4 in toward Junction 14 at the Heathrow turnoff. London Underground, no change, and delays prevail for the Piccadilly line after earlier signal problems and earlier safety checks. South Eastern, really in trouble. Delays of over an hour and a half coming London bound. Short notice alterations as well. It's all because of a tree on the line in the Godston area, and it means services into London Bridge are being diverted. Next update in just under 15 minutes. LBC 97.3 Travel with eShore.com, bringing you cheaper car insurance online.
The Conran restaurant is the perfect spot to arrange a romantic meal for two. Stunning surroundings, food to die for, it's a wonderful night out. But what happens when the other person discovers it's an offer with the Evening Standard, and you're paying as little as £10 each? They might start making demands, like a limo home. So don't tell them. Enjoy a romantic night out without having to fork out. To eat at a Conran restaurant from just £10, pick up your copy of the Evening Standard. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, Marjorie, your new hardwood floor looks absolutely beautiful. How do you do it?
Actually, Jane, those chaps at City Flooring now offer 3 years interest-free credit. They said everyone can afford them now. Even you could.
Get 3 years interest-free credit this month only at City Flooring. Find out more on 0800 21 40 22. That's 0800 21 40 22. City Flooring, making hardwood floors even more affordable. Finance subject to status.
A little bit of Coleshill's what I need. I know the Coleshill windows are for me. A little bit of Coleshill does you good. Yeah, go for Coleshill windows, you know you should. Hey, did you know if you call Coleshill May, you can get 8 windows from just £1,399? Coleshill windows reckon they're the best choice for you. 0800 22 11 155. A little bit of Coleshill are doing good. He's gonna go for Coleshill, he knows he should. Call 0800 22 11 155. All right now.
LBC.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0870 90 90 973.
You know, I'm just looking, we're going to talk a little bit more about Dr. Shipman in just a second. I'm just looking at some of the details concerning this industrial tribunal case against British Airways. They've got, British Airways has 13,500 cabin crew. 13,500. And it says it would cost more than £100 million to change the rule introduced in 1971 at the request of the union to stop old people flying in planes, to stop old people working when they're flying in planes. Can I just say, this is one of the rare occasions when a union actually got something right. Because they don't want... we don't want old people as air crew. Talk about that in a second. Terry's in the city. Hello, Terry.
Good morning, Nick. How are you, mate?
Where have you been, mate?
Well, I take
I take the children to school at 8:15.
Right.
Then I'm there till... so I'm listening to you, but I can't really speak till about 9. But one of my daughters did buy me a radio for Christmas in another room that I use in the mornings.
Yes.
And I've got it there. But it's so hectic in my house, I've not been turning it on, mate. Sorry.
Well, how many... You've got a lot of daughters in your house, haven't you? How many
I've got 4 at home.
Yeah, well, there you go. You see, it's lucky you ever get in the bathroom, mate.
I'm always last, mate. I take the kids to school, then I go back to work, then I go to work, going to London. Anyway, it's a good show, and I'm glad you're here.
Thanks, matey. Now, tell me about Dr. Shipman.
Well, there's two things. First of all, I'd like to say about murder in hospitals. That's the first thing. And I haven't really got any grievance about it, what happened to me and my mother. But regarding Dr. Shipman, when I heard the news, I just thought, so what, who cares? And, contrary to what you said, I think the pain for the victims' families, you said it's going to cause more. I think, I'm sure they're very happy, like I would be, if someone armed any of my family, that the person was dead, and I could probably call a close to the terrible...
Well, the known victims, but what about those who still don't know, either way?
Yeah, well, that's right, there's no answer for them, but I suppose they're probably... He was never going to admit anymore, he was too intelligent of a man, and I think they'll probably be glad he's dead. But regarding murder in hospital, my mother was dying of cancer, and she went to an hospice in Clapham in South London when she died, and I walked in with her and was greeted when we was took up to the ward by this nurse. She was a nun who looked like Victor McLagan, that's all I could say. And my mother was a bit cantankerous at the time, because, you know, she hadn't got long to live and that and thing.
Yes,
but she was right rough with her, not nice with her at all. But, you know, I knew my mother was going to die, she knew she was going to die. But when I went back to see her in the evening, she came up to me, the nurse, and I just saw the way she looked at me. She said, "I've given your mother something to keep her quiet," because she was getting... And that was it. And like 6 hours later, she was dead. She was definitely giving something. Yeah, but... No, but Nick, honestly, I have got no animosity about that whatsoever, because my mother was dying, she was in a lot of pain and things like that. And I think that the woman did the right thing. There you go. But you know, she was definitely murdered, without a doubt.
Terry, lastly, your emotion when you heard the news concerning Shipman, just lastly.
No, I don't care. Who cares? He's armed so many people. I mean, come on, it's bad enough if you murder one person. I mean, he's murdered hundreds, apparently.
Well, we certainly know of 15. He was convicted of 15, and you're right, there are scores, believed to be scores of other cases out there. Terry, thanks for that. Good luck trying to get in the bathroom a little earlier, and thanks for giving me a call. Hear from you again soon. Let's come to this industrial tribunal. British Airways should take more care of us, say elderly former crew members. Of course, they're forced to retire at 55. Jonathan's in Hampstead. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, good morning, Nick. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you.
That's a good show. Thanks very much indeed. I'm enjoying it.
Just found this show then, young man?
No, I haven't. I've been listening to you for donkey's years, but I never normally ring in the mornings because I'm a bit busy. But this morning I was actually driving along, and I've got to tell you, you actually riled me up.
Why? What have I done?
Well, you told me that you think that 55 is old.
Not old to work in a florist.
No. We're talking about British Airways. So
yeah. You can fly the thing, but you can't serve me champagne at 55.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to tell you, I actually got to totally and utterly disagree with you. You know, there are certain airlines where there are what I call the cheaper carriers, where I have no disrespect to them whatsoever.
Yeah.
But you get on a flight, you pay a little bit of money, and you get offered maybe a tea or a coffee by a young girl. And I agree, yes, it's all very nice, as you were saying before, to look at nice, pretty girls.
Yeah,
but you go on a long-haul flight.
Mm.
You've been working on a trip, for argument's sake, you're in your 40s or your 50s. A girl comes over and she says, tea or coffee? You don't want a cup of tea or a coffee. I've personally experienced, when I've been on a British Airways flight in an evening, a member of crew who has been of a similar age to me, or maybe a little older, has walked over to me. He says to me, "You look like you've had a tough day. Here you go. There's a little bottle of scotch for you." That is somebody understanding what what their customers want.
Young girls will do that as well, and young fellas. You're on the red eye back from the States, or you're coming in from Singapore or Honkers Conkers or something like that, and you're woken up. Would you rather be woken up by Mrs. Slocum or Uma Thurman?
Well, I want to tell you something. Irma Thurman, okay, number one, Irma Thurman would think to wake me up. Yes, she would wake me up, but you've just said it. I'm on my way in from the States. But somebody else, an older type of person, I can't remember the person you just said.
I don't want to be woken up by Mrs. Slocum.
But Mrs. Slocum wouldn't wake me. You know what?
Yes, she would. She'd come around clanking that tea trolley.
She would not. She's got more sense than that. You know why? Because she's flown for many years. She's got an understanding of what customers... No, you can say no all day long. I actually disagree with you. But I have to admire you. You riled me up enough to ring in, which is the secret of a good radio show.
Well, I don't know if it's a good radio show, but I'm very, very glad that you phoned me, and you have yourself a safe day. I still say, the girls, by the way, if I ran an airline, first class, you'd have to have a name like Demi. Uma, something like that. Then the middle of the plane you could be like an Emily, and then the back of the plane you'd be like a Rosemary or a Sharon or a Tracy. They could do what do you call it? Tourist class. Aphrodite's on the North Circular. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
How are you?
My name is Aphrodite. What do I do?
You are in first class. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your pilot speaking. Looking after you in first class is Aphrodite. It works.
It does.
In tourist class, it's Philippa. That works. Back of the bus is Jenny. Sorry, go on.
I am going to totally disagree on this occasion with you because just because someone is over 50 doesn't mean that they lose their ability.
No, I know. No. No, it's the looks that go first.
No, hold on. It doesn't mean that they lose their glamour either.
No, it's the looks that go first, darling. Not the ability, the looks.
I will send you a picture of myself. I'm well over that age.
Yeah.
And I'm still looking very well.
Look,
I disagree with you. Why should someone...
You can make the sandwiches on the ground that the girls will serve up in the air. That's
definitely
all right.
Definitely not.
Why not?
Not. No. No. I have got the expertise. I've been doing it for all these years. Why should I... Come on. You want someone that knows what they're doing, knows what they're talking about. Let's face it. An air hostess is not just a waitress.
Well, basically, I mean, can I tell you, they are. That is what air hostess... This idea that they're there for my security and comfort, do you honestly think, whether the girl is 55 or 25, that she's going to be able to haul my fat backside out of a chair and swim with me to safety in the Potomac? I don't think so. They're there. They're there to make me feel good about myself and wear a tight uniform.
You're more likely to get help from a 55-year-old than a 21-year-old.
Well, I suppose, Aphrodite, that you've got a great name, by the way.
Haven't I, Jess?
That is fantastic. And what's it been like going through life called Aphrodite?
I used to hate it as a child in Cyprus, where I was born.
Mm.
Because even in Cyprus, it wasn't very sort of common name or, you know.
Yeah.
But so when I came here, I loved it.
What do you shorten it to?
They wouldn't dare. Nobody would dare shorten it.
No, you don't fancy Afro?
No.
Or Dighty?
No. It's not the same, is it?
Stay safe. Thanks for your input. I think you'll find that most people actually agree with me. Aphrodite, by the way, this is it. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this flight, London to New York. In the first class, you're in the hands of Aphrodite. Sounds nice. In business class, you're in the hands of Helen. And in economy class, you're cared for by Philippa and Jenny. Those are where those sort of names belong. More on this in a second. It's 9:45, it's travel time. Natalie Bailey, how are the roads?
We've got some very busy queues, Nick, if you're heading around the North Circular going westbound. And delays from the Great Cambridge Road in toward Henley's Corner. The South Circular still reporting a 15-minute delay westbound between Wandsworth and Kew. And reports coming into us of an accident on the A3 Guildford Bypass coming London bound. Two vehicles involved in an accident completely blocking off the road between the Wooden Bridge and the Woking Road interchange. Exit 10 minutes onto your journey coming London bound on the M11 from 5 at Loughton into a junction 4 at the North Circular. Average speeds there around 10 miles per hour. And the A127 coming into town in towards the Gallows Corner Junction. That's also looking very slow with that route very busy. For the trains, an hour and a half extra onto South Eastern journeys with a tree on the line in the Godston area. That means delays and short notice alterations, of course. Trains into London Bridge still being diverted. Wagon and GNER adding an extra 20 minutes onto journeys to and from King's Cross with speed restrictions following the high winds. And for the Tube, still reports of delays on the Piccadilly line after earlier safety checks. Next update in half an hour, LBC 97.3 Travel with eShot.com, bringing you cheaper car insurance online.
A theatre of comedy, of tragedy, of action, romance, dreams and emotions. Experience an original theatre with LBC 97.3 and Shakespeare's Globe Exhibition. Learn the remarkable story of Sam Wanamaker's struggle to rebuild the Globe. Discover how special effects were produced in Shakespeare's time. Record your own Shakespeare scene. See a real-life sword-fighting display and much more. Shakespeare's Globe Exhibition is open throughout the year. And until the end of April, you can get two tickets to this amazing experience for the price of one. Call 020 799 0902-1509. And LBC 97.3 with Shakespeare's Globe will send you a 2-for-1 ticket voucher. Theatre, the way it's meant to be, with Shakespeare's Globe exhibition and LBC 97.3. Tuned in to London.
The cheque should be in the post. The gas man should be here before 12. Your car keys should be where you left them. Toys should be in a box. We should be there by now. And with a mortgage rate of 3.64%, variable for 2 years, APR 5.6%, you should be with the Woolwich. For a written quote, call 08456 066 566 or visit your nearest branch of the Woolwich. Terms and conditions apply. Security is required. Limited offer subject to availability.
Dyslexia made me feel stupid, really frustrated and disappointed in myself.
The Bright Star Dyslexia Programme has really helped Jonty move forward. It could help your child too.
Bright Star has been a huge encouragement to Jonty and then consequently to the rest of us and his family. He's doing things that we didn't think we'd see him doing whilst at school, such as picking up books to read at home, being able to organise his work, stuff that I didn't actually expect to see at this stage.
After Bright Star, Jonty's reading and spelling age improved by up to 1.5 years. To find out how, call 0870-3000-777.
Bright Star has given Jonty a huge amount of confidence, changed the way he thinks, given him new abilities and a fresh perspective on life.
The Bright Star Dyslexia Programme, 0870-300-777.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
LBC 97.3.
For just over another 10 minutes, then of course it's the Tony Blair phone in, the Prime Minister taking your calls. A couple of emails on the subject of this aircrew story. Pauline in Caterham says, I agree, now this is interesting, this is a woman here. I agree with your comments about old women in the air, and equally old men, they look lecherous and seedy. I would prefer a nubile, muscle-rippling steward handing me my nuts. Well, I think I've never been against that myself. Fred in Romford says, you know full well that 22-year-old Stephanie or Fiona won't give you that extra gin and tonic. Sorry, sir, it's against the rules. Tell these BA trolley dollies they needn't worry because Air 2000 will take them. Have you seen some of the old boilers there leaning over your cramped seats, giving you the extra G&T? Lisa's in Seven Oaks. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm a bit nervous, actually. I couldn't believe I've got through.
There you go. I'm very glad you phoned me.
You wound me up because you had a go at car dealers the other day.
I did, yeah.
My husband is.
Uh-oh.
And works very hard.
Yeah, well.
And I'm an ex-cabin crew member for BA that I gave up in November.
Oh, did you?
Yes, and I did about 16 years in that first-class cabin, and I'm Lisa.
Lisa, no, Lisa, Lisa. No, Lisa should be club class. Lisa is a club class name.
Well, I don't think you travel enough. You don't know. You haven't been on one of our flights.
I don't think I was ever served by you, unfortunately.
I mean, I must admit, you do make me laugh.
Well, that's good.
I thought, well, I must ring and see if I get through.
Now, come on, you've got to admit.
It's not true. I mean, yes, there are a few rough ones about, but they do a good job.
Dodgy boilers should not be up in the air.
Oh, I don't agree. No, you've got it wrong. We do a good job, and we're not just waitresses.
They can work in the bakery with those little paper hats as they
yeah,
lean.
Yeah, I might be now. No, I'm doing gardening now, so I get the garden done.
Did you enjoy your time up in the air?
I did. I loved it.
Did you know about this fight going on?
No. I just literally have come. My son has just started. My last little boy has gone to school, so I'm in an emotional state anyway.
How many children?
I've got two boys, Harry and Nathan.
Mm.
And he's just started school today, so I'm a bit, you know.
What is it? When you say what, as a 5-year-old?
Yes, four.
So
you led him down.
You led him down to the school gate.
Yes.
Holding his little hand.
Yes.
And you took
coffee for the mums at our school.
And you took him in, and then he would have looked round, and he would have thought, why is mummy leaving me?
No, I didn't think he actually looked round.
Well, why is mummy leaving me with all these strangers?
I know it's sad, isn't it?
No. Even now he'll be being bullied.
No, he won't.
Yeah, even now
our school he won't.
He's sitting in a corridor thinking, why has mummy died? I don't want to make you feel bad, but even now he's looking at a watch or clock thinking, When will Mummy come back?
I used to fly around the world and leave them, so I
Hey, is it a good... last question, is it a good job?
Yes, it is a very good job. It was a very good job, but with the childcare now, it just, I had to give up, and I was actually feel I was getting too old.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not, but it's not
and
a job.
I'm 40.
It's not a job for old boilers, is it?
No, I'm 40, and I think I look okay.
Oh, no, I'd have you.
There were some glorious women there that were in their 50s, and they looked fantastic.
What, even first thing in the morning in Singapore Airport?
Well, none of you passengers look fantastic. I've woken up a few and given them out. You know, given them their duvets and tucked them in.
Look after those kids of yours, Lisa, and regards...
Don't be mean to car dealers.
Where does it...
Your car is all the same brush, just like Kilroy Silk.
Where's his dealership, then?
He's in Dagenham.
Oh.
And he's not Dave.
Oh, good luck with it, Lisa. We'll talk soon. Adrian's in Fulham. Adrian, we don't want old boilers in the air, do we?
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
Do you know what? When you were making that announcement, I was thinking, there it is. There it is. I can hear it. He's opened the can. He's opened the can and he's set the worms away.
Yeah, that's
it. I knew you would. Well, I got to say, in all seriousness, if they're efficient, I don't mind. But let's face it, if they look like Sophia Loren or Ursula Andress, you tell me.
Yeah, that's Sophia Loren and Ursula Andress in their early 40s, not now in their late 50s or early 60s.
Have you seen
that's the sort of auntie you don't want to kiss at Christmas, not somebody bringing round your scotch.
Have you seen Sophia Loren lately?
Not first thing in the morning.
She looks absolutely stunning first thing in the morning. So I've been told.
Adrian, thanks for that. John Armar emails, it's not the age, but rather the looks which are important. I would not object to being served drinks by Joanna Lumley, but I would not be so keen on the young Michelle McManus. Yeah, that's a girl who could do with finding lettuce, isn't it? Jenny's in Penge. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Nick. I was just a bit annoyed, really. My name's Jenny.
Jenny, I'm afraid, yeah, you're tourist class.
Would you put Jennifer Aniston and Jennifer Love
Hewitt? Oh, Jennifer Aniston is first class. Jennifer Aniston.
You know, I don't think Jenny should be at the back, really.
Well, can I let you in on a little secret? Can I tell you why I put Jenny at the back of the bus? Because one of the teams here called Jenny, so I did it deliberately. I think, in fairness, you're club class. You'll accept club class?
Well, yeah, I suppose so.
What about
I don't think we should be first, but...
What about these old ducks still wanting to fly? They're nuts, aren't they?
Well, I'd rather have Brad Pitt on the flight than an old duck, but
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, the old women should work in the bakers, and they should work in the florists, and the old boys should go to B&Q.
So can we have Brad Pitt up in first class?
Yeah, we'll have Brad definitely doing a bit of first class. Thanks for that, Jenny. Viv's in Enfield. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning, Nick.
Vivian.
I'm on board.
Vivian is probably first to business, I would say.
Yes, I am. Good morning to you. And I'm 40-something.
Yeah.
I look all right.
Yeah.
And I'd look after you. And I'd love to see what your roots look like first. And,
I need a hairnet. I do need a hairnet.
I wear a hairnet. Hairnet, Nick.
Are you air crew?
Yes, I am. Long haul, British Airways. And I'm 46. I'm actually 47 on Saturday. Poor old boiler. I've got the hump with you now.
Why have you got the hump with me?
Well, love, I'm all right. I've got a few little laugh lines around the eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would look after you. I'd probably let you turn left as I welcome you on board, but I'd have to look at your socks and your jeans.
What, to see if they match?
Yes, indeed. But, no, in all honesty, I have my agreements with you, but, you know, we're a lot of lovely people. We look after ourselves. We get tired. There is a certain time to bow out.
Would you want to work when you were 55, 56? No.
I don't know, Nick. The people, I do know some of the people that are doing this tribunal thing.
And, yeah.
One of the lovely ladies, Diana, she is spectacular, and I think she's still got it. It's up to them. No, I don't think pushing trolleys. You get tired.
I think you do. Where have you just come back from, or where are you off to?
I haven't, Nick. I've been off for a little while, and I'd just like to say I've been wanting to ring you for a long, long time and haven't had the courage.
Oh.
But I've been off sick for a while.
Uh-oh.
And you've actually made my time off sick very, very happy. But I am going back to work on the 28th of January, and my first flight's to Washington.
Have a safe one. I'll be thinking of you. Good luck with that, and I'm glad to hear you're on the mend. Take care of yourself, my dub. Catherine's in Bracknell. You're on the wireless, Catherine.
Oh, hi,
Nick. I've never heard your show before, but I'm actually at my mother's and listening to it.
What do you normally listen to?
Your lovely show, which has really got me angry.
There you go.
Yes.
I thought you said you'd never heard it before. I thought you listened to another radio station.
I do. I listen to Heart. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right.
I just can't believe how sexist you really are.
That's me.
And I heard from...
I am the voice of common sense.
Yourself.
I am... I'm what? What did you say?
A bit of a boiler yourself.
Well, I don't know about that. The hair.
And I was wondering if I had a spare rope where you are.
Oh, that's a little harsh, I would suggest. I mean, maybe the highlights need a bit of attention, but, I mean, for the heavy man, I'm not unattractive.
Oh, right, that's good. Well, I'm very sorry, but I don't agree with you.
Why?
There's some very beautiful women out there.
Well, they should... But listen, they can work in the library.
No,
older women, library and the bakers. That's the best place for them.
Maybe you should work in the bakery in the library.
I'd eat all the donuts. I'd get an even larger lard arse than I've got at the moment. This would be the problem. Catherine, you're going to listen to me tomorrow instead of Heart?
I might do, yeah.
You'll be sure to do that.
I will now.
Thanks ever so much for that. You stay safe. What have I got time for? One more email. France says, the female spelling says, do you realise you're stereotyping those of us who are older by demanding air hostesses should be young? Maybe they should. But to talk about not wanting people with wrinkles, you're ensuring that people will continue to think that older people cannot do their jobs because of their age rather than their skills. This is not political correctness, this is a matter of respect. And Jeremy Hall in Poplar says, the age of air waitresses in different classes depends on the airline. In my experience, the Middle and Far East airlines, they have the young totty in first and business. BA tends to have the most experienced, that's otherwise known as old, waitresses in first. For the American airlines, the very old waitresses are in the cattle class. Yes, well, they've got all those laws over there. Have you ever flown on some of the American airlines? By God, they look like Dolly Parton about 20 years on. Hey, we're 1 minute away from phoning with the Prime Minister.
It's only human nature to avoid chores, which is why we're always looking for ways to make life easier. From the electric lawnmower to the washing machine to the toaster to filing your self-assessment tax return online. It's secure and the calculations will be done instantly. For more information, go to inlandrevenue.gov.uk. Self-assessment. Tax doesn't have to be taxing.
Smoking stinks. I mean, it affects you and those around you. And it burns a hole in your pocket. So give up.
If you really want to quit, call now free on 0800 3282 784 for free expert NHS support and advice from people who know how tough it can be and who will help you stub it out for good.
Smoking. Best not to start. Never too late to stop.
Call Barnet NHS Stop Smoking Service now, free, on 0800 3282 784. That's 0800 3282 784.
Good morning, you're listening to LBC 97.3, it's 10 o'clock. I'm Nick Ferrari, I'm back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Thanks for all your calls, your faxes and your emails. Of course, it is the phone-in with Prime Minister Tony Blair on this station. Now it's over to Howard Hughes.
The 10 o'clock news, I am Howard Hughes. Serial killer Dr. Harold Shipman is dead. He was found hanged in his cell at Wakefield Prison. The man they called Dr. Death was discovered just before 6 this morning. They tried to resuscitate him, but efforts failed. Shipman was jailed for life in 2000 for the killing of 15 female patients. An inquiry later decided he'd actually taken the lives of at least 215, something he never admitted. There will be an investigation into this. The inquiry formally opens this morning into how Soham murderer Ian Huntley got his job as a school caretaker. It'll look at the vetting system that failed to pick up a string of sex allegations against him. The longest-serving MP in the Commons, Labour's Tandy Yell, will step down at the next election. That news from his agent this morning. He's 71 and was first elected in 1962. It's been confirmed a British soldier in Iraq died because of a shortage of body armour. Sergeant Stephen Roberts was shot in the chest in March last year. Conservative defence spokesman Nicholas Soames, who has seen a preliminary note on the incident, says not all of our soldiers who are out there got the right protection. And ASLEF union leaders meet underground managers at Peacemakers ACAS in Borough soon to try and settle a long row about drivers' pay. The unions warn the dispute could delay plans for a 3 or 4 year wage deal on the tubes. The weather for London on this important day, windy, rain will clear, then it'll be bright and blustery, still no sign of the sunshine, unfortunately. 12 Celsius the top, and at the Palace of Westminster this hour they have 10 Celsius. LBC 97.3 weather with World Woman capsules, one a day health and vitality for women. It's now 1 minute past 10. Tuned in to London, LBC.
O's 3 weeks and Paul O's 1 week, but Trish owes Helen 2 weeks and Trish is on holiday next week, how much does Helen owe Paul? The answer? Your syndicate manager. If you run a lottery syndicate, simply download your syndicate manager to your PC. It checks all your syndicate's numbers every week, and it keeps tabs on who's paid what and when. If you want to start up a syndicate, just log on to nationallottery.co.uk or call 0845 9100 000. Players must be 16 or over. Games rules and procedures apply.
Heavy meetings, impossible deadlines, crashing computers. Sometimes work is just one pressure after another. And the last thing you need on top of all that is the pressure pain of blocked sinuses. It's just one pressure too many. So, get Lemsip Max Sinus Capsules with a max strength painkiller and decongestant to help release you from pressure pain and unblock your sinuses. There's still the pressure of work to deal with, but then you've always managed to do that. Lemsip Max, because life doesn't stop. Always read the label.
LBC 97.3.